Our name is the RRR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else. Hello, welcome to our Season 6, Episode 46.
They're grateful!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I was trying to think of something better, but then I
just said it was... I wasn't expecting that bad. Oh,
like, look, it's just like the cereal pun. Like, I just want Frosted Flakes now, but like they're shaped like...
I kind of do. Like, I don't think... We don't have any Frosted Flakes in this house. So.
Yeah, that's all. Like, I was trying to think of something else with it, and then... I don't know. I tried to think of like a Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off pun. It just never worked because like the Dino Charge episode didn't have any cooking involved, and like I thought about like Field of Energems, but like no, it didn't really work. Like I don't know any other baseball movies. I almost Googled baseball movies. At one point during Drive's run, I Googled like car movies and driving movies.
Car movies.
For inspiration. Oh, classic me. So that's where I'm at. Like, this week had more... Like, last week I had a problem with there not being any notable things to riff off of for me. Except for, like, gorilla stuff. But I don't know. It just wasn't doing it for me that week. But, like, this week there was stuff. It just wasn't happening. Yep. This is the part where we talk about what's going on in our lives.
Yeah.
And these are the days of our lives.
Forgot I didn't actually go on my trip last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Went to the casino, won $600, so it was a good day.
Yay, money's.
So that was fun. I mean, winning's always fun. Even if I lose, I generally have fun because my family's kind of nuts. But winning definitely helps in the fun category. So that was good. I got some birthday stuff, because just dawns on me that was my birthday trip. Trying to find the picture of birthday stuff. Found it. I got a BB-8 alarm clock. That was cool.
We got best some alarm cool clock. Shirts. Droid, please!
Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, which I started playing, which is fun. I got Lego Avengers 2, two, but I don't know when I'm going to get to that, but I'll get to it eventually. But I got Pokemon stuff, and I got Big Hero 6 stuff, and it was basically just me in present form. Everything I like in present form. I got Pokken. Well, not when it came out, because I was gone, but I got it on Saturday when I came back. Only got to play it a little bit, but it's got a lot of mechanics to it, because it's like an actual fighting game, and not like a basic fighting game like Smash or something, but it's really fun, I think. So
I heard that it was pretty good, but the reviews all said that it was like really complicated to like get off the ground.
There's a lot of stuff to it. But yeah. I think if you boil it down to just mashing buttons, then it's not too difficult. But if you actually want to be competitive, like, there's a lot of shit to it. So, I don't know.
I'll probably pick it up at some point.
The reason that I play Smash so much is because Smash is, like, really simple. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot to it. I mean, there's a lot of competitive elements to it, but there's not like insane ass combos that you have to memorize. I'm not either. I've never been good at that, so I think that's my biggest problem with Pokken. But like I knew that going in, so it's not like I'm disappointed in the game or anything. The game looks pretty. It's really nice to like look at.
Like the only fighting game I've ever been decent at that has any sort of like higher level complications is like the Dragon Ball Budokai games, and that's like good like amongst friends, not like amongst online or anything. Like my friend's like super like that, where he's like, "Man, I'm not good at fighting games. I hate them. It was too complicated." Like I would do one move that was like two buttons. He's like, "You're too good." I'm like, "I pushed square and triangle at the same time. Like I'm terrible at this too." But like that's as far as I go in terms of fighting games. I thought that series in forever.
Yeah, Xenoverse was the last time I did anything DBZ related, and
I'm sure
I
about
got
that.
like I got stuck in Xenoverse because I was awful at it.
I heard it had some really difficult parts too. Like punishing difficult.
Yeah, like in the middle of the fucking story, it's less like I couldn't beat this one level. I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah, like again, multiple reviews I watched said that like in the middle of the story they had to stop and grind for experience so that they could get past this one part.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm playing a Dragon Ball fighting game. I don't want to grind.
Yeah.
At that point, I was pretty much just out. I'm like, I'll occasionally semi-grind in an RPG, but if you set it up to where I have to grind, I'm out. I just can't do it. I get
Yeah,
bored.
it's too much tedious work.
Like, unless your fighting system is like really fucking fun, I don't want to grind at all.
Yeah. It's not
Sorry,
like
not
down at
hot
the club
enough,
with them
not gonna
youths.
grind.
0 out of 10, would not grind.
I picked up a armored Batman toy just so that I didn't have to buy something when I got out of the movies tomorrow night.
Getting ahead of the game.
I'm gonna save myself a trip to the Walmart next door and just do it now.
Just do it.
Because when I get out of the movies, I'm probably just gonna want to go eat something because I'm not gonna eat dinner. Gonna head up the Burger King. But anyway, the last thing that I got was actually arrived today, which is weird because it was supposed to arrive tomorrow, and it was like a signature required. It was DHL from Mandarake, so it has that thing where like you can sign online for it, but I never did it. And I was sitting at my mom's finishing my taxes. That's been my life the past like 3 days, and that's been abysmal. And it's like delivered gold, because that's what I titled it in my delivery tracker app. And I was like, but I need to set. Oh, okay. And so I was just sitting on my porch, but it is the gold orange. That's a weird thing to say. Gold orange banana and Budo lock seeds that were given away, like in like a lottery contest for like those little chocolates that you like. If you follow Japanese like toy review YouTubers, like they'll occasionally do these videos where they buy like boxes upon boxes of these toku themed candies, and the entire video is just them opening the candies. Not eating
That's
them. They just open them and pull them out and either celebrate or get sad and then move on to the next package of candies. Because they're like the thing is that you have to get like a certain amount of a certain wrapper or something. Like in this case it was probably like you needed to get a certain amount of the orange lockseed wrapper or something. And so these people would just keep opening these boxes of candies looking for the orange lockseed wrapper or whatever it was that they needed to try to win one of these little gold sets. But I got it on Mandarake for 8,000 yen, which wasn't that bad at all, because it used to go for like 200, 250 bucks. So
Oh, jeez.
so I got them because I figured if I'm going to start selling a bunch of shit, I at least want one good solid collection, and it's going to be Gaim. So I'm going to go all out. But yeah, so
I like that
those are
logic. Well, I'm gonna
pretty
start selling stuff. Might as well go out on one thing. You won't get the all the way responsibility.
hashtag my logic. I've got my collection of every amiibo ever and all the lock seeds. Fuck you. And Pokemon cards. My thing.
All out on three things.
Three things.
But that's it.
And Sentai Mecha, four things. But no, I'm done after that. It's mostly just Kamen Rider. Sorry, guys, I don't play with your toys. Anyway, that's a topic for a different day. So go ahead.
Okay, what mundane shit have I been up to?
I don't know why well, I laughed at that.
Binge watched Daredevil in like 2.1 days, and like I don't know if I ever talked about it much on here, but I wasn't a huge fan of the first season, but like season two was really really good, so I liked that a lot. Not as much as Flash or even like Legends. Or S.H.I.E.L.D. for sure. I still like S.H.I.E.L.D. the best, but it's definitely good. I think that partly what annoys me, I don't think it has anything to do with certain things I dislike about the first season, but something I dislike about the mentality of like the Netflix shows is you'll see people like basically saying it's good and better and praising it solely because like you can show blood and say shit and like it's a little bit more dark. And like... S.H.I.E.L.D. is every bit as good, if not better. In fact, I think it's better without all that. Same thing
you
with The Flash.
You don't need blood, gore, and swearing to be good.
Like, and I like that they can go further, but, like, at the same time, sometimes it feels out of place given that it's in the same universe. Mm-hmm. Like, if that makes any sense, like, I'd like for them to pull it back sometimes because... all the different properties have their own tone, but it all fits in this cohesive, like, overtone. And sometimes it feels so different because of how far they go in certain areas. But, like, I like that they can push it a little bit because of some of the stuff they deal with. But, yeah, it was still good. But I binged that. I finally finished my Fire Red. I default to Fire Red because that was, like, my version. My Leaf Green playthrough. Like, okay... What's funny is that after I finished Elite Four, I was trying to decide whether I was going to catch Mewtwo or not before I moved on. But then there's like all that Sevii Island stuff to do, and I was thinking I could just get Mewtwo, and then basically with all these games, I think I told you last week, like save like a lot of the post-gamey stuff for the next Pokemon kick, so I have like all these extra things to do. But I basically more or less ended up doing like 90% of the post-game because my memory sucks. And I was thinking all I had to do was go get the Ruby from Mount Ember, and the machine was fixed, and I could go catch Mewtwo. No. First of all, I had to catch 8 more Pokemon because of the fucking Pokedex handicap. You need 60 Pokemon to unlock the National Dex and unlock this quest. So I had to do that. And then you get the Ruby, and it's like this fucking... It was almost funny, this wild goose chase that ultimately ended up on me doing the entire quest because, like, you get the Ruby, and then you have to go to, like, Icefall Cave and get the Sapphire, and then it's snatched from you, and then you have to go to, like... No, not that. You go to Icefall Cave to activate the dotted hole, and this sounds so wrong, and then the dotted hole has a sapphire, and then the sapphire snatched from you, and you have to go to the Rocket Warehouse. So, like, I kept thinking, like, all right, well, if it's just one more thing, and I ended up going to, like, 3 or 4 different dungeons, and then you finally get to where Mewtwo is. And, like, I like the post-game stuff they added, but I kind of hate that they have all these restrictions on Mewtwo, which you could just get after you finished Elite Four before. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But so, I still have, like, little bits of stuff to do if I ever go back into it before I restart Leaf Green in the far future. But, so I basically ended up doing that today because I had a snow day. So, it was just, like, totally by accident. Like, I've played that game, like, at least 3 times before. Like, I just couldn't believe I forgot all that stuff. And, like I said, it was literally a wild goose chase. So, and then I did, like, all the prep for Heart Gold. I transferred my Pokemon over to, I think, Black. And, like, documented my little, like, Hall of Fame and my little pictures with my Pokemon, so I have my memories, because I'm a sentimental fuck like that. And, so I got that all prepped and ready. But I think that's really it. Like, it's just been Pokemon and Netflix, which is basically my life. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Probably not. I'm gonna go see Batman on Friday, so I'm looking forward to that. Or Batman versus Superman. And I think, honestly, that is it. Have you started your Johto yet? Have you, like,
I'm still at a crossroads of what to do. Because I have tried every tool in this goddamn house, and I cannot get my crystal cart open. I watched this one Pokemon player on YouTube. I watched, conveniently did a video a couple weeks ago that was how to change the batteries in your Game Boy cart. I'm like, oh, I need to do this. This is convenient. I watched it. And he just had like a pair of like tweezer, like basically needle nose pliers, except they're a lot thinner than the ones I have apparently, because I couldn't get the fucking needle nose pliers into that goddamn little screw area. But like he just put it in and like just twisted it off, and I'm just sitting here going, how do you find something that fits in this goddamn hole?
Why isn't it
And
working for me? That's what she said.
so I didn't know what I'm still I might just ROM it and play it on my computer, because I
So
mean
you're still semi-pure?
my computer's always here anyway, so I don't think I'm gonna be playing much Pokemon Crystal on the road or anything, so it's not a huge deal. But I don't know. Whatever.
Struggle is real, trying to be purism. Although my playthrough is going to be all over the place. I'm going from the GBA to the DS to back to the GBA to what? DS again? I guess it's just DS into 3DS, but still. Like, I was going to play Alpha Sapphire for 3, but like, even though it took me forever, I feel like I just finished Omega Ruby. And like, I kind of want to play the original version. Like, I want to see. When I finished the Omega or Alpha Ruby, I was thinking, like, there's something I liked about the first version better, and I want to go and see if that was nostalgia or not. Like, I don't know. There was just something missing with me with that playthrough. I don't know what it was. Like, I actually really liked my team, and I thought it was fun, but I don't know. When I played through it, there was just something missing. I'm not sure what it was. Maybe it was my mood. I don't know. Time will tell. Bottom line is, Pokemon Quick is still happening. And I'm still just like Kiefer tweeted, like watching someone play Pokemon while playing Pokemon. Like, that's basically me. Like, I'll be playing like Leaf Green, watching Chugga Conroy, watching Tamashii, any other Pokemon video that pops up. I'm like, what is my life right now? Like, whenever I have a free thinking moment, I'm like mentally planning my teams for like the playthroughs I'm doing.
Like that's been me with like the card game. Like, I've been building a ton of decks lately for no particular reason and spending a bunch of money on cards on eBay that I need for said decks, because I'm watching like three or four different YouTubers right now that all do Pokemon TCG Online. And so like I'm watching these constantly, and I'm like, oh, that seems really fun to play. Goes to eBay. It's a really awful, vicious cycle. But like I've just been digesting so much different Pokemon TCG Online videos lately, and it's all like every day. Like one of the four will put out a new video or two every day. So I'm just sitting here like, oh, I need to watch. So that's the life right now.
I'm wondering if the kick will peter out before I do buy that second copy of Platinum. Just like, because I don't want to restart my original file, because that's not the way the rules go. And like, it's like just for that slight bit more speed that Platinum has. I don't know. We'll see if that happens. Although it will ruin that I'm pretty much playing like the second version of what I usually started for everything else. But plus the current LP for Chugga is Platinum, so it makes me kind of want to play that. I don't know, we'll see. Still got Johto and Hoenn to get through. But yeah, basically, so much Pokemon's happening. It like eclipsed Star Wars with a giant Pokeball.
It
Was like
just
the Death
cap
Star just got overshadowed
it
by this
captured
Pokeball.
Starkiller Base. It was just
After I finished Daredevil, I was like, man, what a genius idea. If I catch an Electabuzz and name it Electra-buzz. Boom, nailed it. Has to be female, though. It's
yeah, make
awkward.
sure it's female.
Really funny because, like, halfway through my playthrough of this, I realized my Squirtle was a female. And, like, I really don't care so much anymore, but it's just funny to think of a female Blastoise. Because, like, it's just like, I can't imagine a female Blastoise voice. I don't think we've ever heard one on the anime. I'm just picturing a Blastoise with, like, a bow in its hair. Like, I don't know. Because I think it's because of that
Blastoise.
Charizard. I think it's because of that Charizard from the Charizific Valley that just had the bow in its hair. Like, that's how you could tell.
Charla.
Yeah, spot on. That's how you do it. All right. I think that's enough Pokemon. I'm sure we'll get distracted by Pokemon at some point during another discussion.
That's how we
Now
do.
it's time for The entire lack of news.
It's news, yeah. The biggest piece of news that came out was, it was like seriously the day after we recorded, as per normal, that there is, I don't want to say Kamen Rider Amazon Revival, because that's not really the right word, but there is going to be an exclusive 13-episode series called Kamen Rider Amazons, because there's two of them, exclusively on Amazon Prime Instant Video, which is genius marketing, by the way. I love it.
Yeah.
This is Amazon Prime Amazons. And for some reason, I feel like if they make figure arts, they're going to be exclusive to Amazon. Or have some
Probably.
sort of Amazon exclusive. Because when the normal Amazon was released, they had an exclusive release on Amazon that had like a special
Oh, yeah.
box and a
I
special
remember that. It was
case
like
or
kind of like
something.
brown or something.
It was a really
Yeah.
ugly-ass box, but whatever.
Yeah. Get your cardboard colored box.
That's exactly what it was. Really plain, really ugly. Didn't like it at all. But anyway, so this is set around, like, there's a, like, so we're talking about, like, cats now. There's a domesticated Amazon, and then there's a wild type Amazon. Now, I don't know if they're implying that the wild type Amazon is just like a total nutbag, and like the original Amazon was like a jungle boy sort of thing that Amazon had going for him. And the
Yeah.
other one is just more like a, I mean, I know the one is a civilian because I watched the trailer and he was just a normal dude. Felt like he was working for an organization or something, I don't know, but. And of course, Premium Bandai's already announced that they're gonna release the driver as a Premium Bandai
Oh,
item,
yeah.
so of course. And I'm sure the figure arts, if they're not like an Amazon exclusive, are gonna be Premium Bandai exclusive, because that's how they do.
You know how they do.
But
Yeah.
it definitely stayed true to like Amazon's roots, because they're like ripping off limbs of the monsters and shit. So it was definitely staying true to
Hardcore dark Showa stuff.
it was definitely staying true to Amazon, with the biting and the ripping and all that stuff. But it looked fun. I mean, not like fun, but I mean it looked good. And I like with it being an Amazon Prime exclusive thing. I mean, it makes getting subs a lot more difficult, because I mean I highly doubt we're gonna get it over here.
Yeah.
Because Toei actually giving us official subs for something is just like never gonna happen, apparently. But it, so I mean I doubt we're gonna get it officially. It's still definitely possible that someone can rip it and do subs, but it's not gonna be like as quick as a Ghost episode or something. It's gonna be
Yeah.
a while. So we'll see. If we ever do get a hold of it, I plan on watching it just because it does look good. But
Yeah, like I'm not, it's not something I'm over the moon about, but I'm not really mad at it. Like, I think the idea of if we're gonna keep pimping out these Showa Riders, like I'd rather be something like this sort of modern continuation with get some cooler looking suits or like an sort of like a first to the next reboot. Either of those two is just kind of better with me because you're making something that doesn't look like it looks cooler. It's kind of neat to see an update. It fits in better, and it's also something new as opposed to something old. Like, it's okay. I'm bringing back those old suits for like when it was a special anniversary, but then when you do it every movie, it gets old. So like, I kind of like this idea more. Like I said, it's not my favorite thing still, but it's not really something that's irking me. And like, I think it would be cool to see some sort of update for the other suits and stuff like that.
Yeah, I like the designs, 'cause
I like the modern looking one.
they did this thing where the wild type one is very much an
Type
updated of the
wild.
original,
Yeah, and
but
the new one's like a
it's
Most Robot
red,
one.
and the newer one is a very modern, like, as everyone always goes, a metal hero-esque, whatever.
Oh
I don't know what
God,
that
I can't
means,
with that shit.
but a very modernized, like, armored rider, but it retains Amazon's original color scheme. So, like, you've got these two different riders. One, like, took his color scheme, the other one took his design. And so I think that's pretty cool. And I like both of them. They're neat. I don't think I'm gonna get the driver unless it just does something that's really fucking cool. I mean, I don't even know if I would bother getting figure outs or something, even though I do think the designs are really neat.
I
But
think I
yeah,
might get the modern one, like the robo looking one,
the
the
green one.
red one, or green one. Yes, yeah, that one. It depends. Like, if I end up seeing it and really liking it, then maybe. But like, if I had to pick one, I would definitely get the more modern looking one. I don't think I'll get the driver regardless. Like, the retail drivers don't pay off to buy for reviews or anything else, really. So.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm in this weird place with Rider Toys right now, so.
There's certain toys I pick up and play with every now and then. I not that often, but like the most ones that I'll go back to revisit are like the Kiva ones. Like, I still love the Ixabel. I don't know. It's so basic, but I love the sounds for it and the fun and having my little Kiva bite me and hashtag Kiva for life.
I'm a little cute playing me.
Well, the cigar is still kind of boring. It's just a little weird gremlin DJ thing. Like, what the hell is your problem, dude? Fucking weird snake creeper. I have a voice like a baby. A tiny little baby. Oh,
CC
man.
driver.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the Smith driver? You just put it in. Ding, ding. That's the sound of round two. I have the hardest time getting that right because I'll slip into Southern trying to say round like Schmidt does. Man, Schmidt. In other news, Schmidt.
Tell you the truth, though, I would totally buy a Schmidt driver.
Oh, I
Just
absolutely
saying.
would. Can you imagine? Like, whatever the gimmick is, just says different phrases, like just the chutney and roof, the Olympics. You haven't even gotten to that yet. Oh, God. Look like a homeless pencil. Well, I have a smart on my back. All day. Oh,
All
that
day,
part's so
son. All day.
I love the part in the funeral episode where he goes, "The early buzz on this thing is it's going to be a real drag." Of course, that would be the early buzz on any funeral. Don't laugh when they say he's responsible. They don't know why it's hilarious. Oh, God, that episode's so good. I had to rewatch it. All right. And other, like, sort of, like, no duh news. This upcoming episode of Supercharged, which will air the day this episode of the podcast comes out, is the mid-season finale, which is really funny to, like, tote it that way, because I looked at the description and it's, like, total, like, filler of filler land. It's like everyone becomes greedy.
And the only reason that anyone's calling it that is because like the Power Force
Saban's
email
head.
and I think the Twitter did too, is calling it the mid-season finale. I'm like, well, I mean,
They don't really
kinda,
structure it like that.
but if you want to get technical.
Like, it's just funny. Like, I guess it's fitting. It started filler, ended filler. It's really funny because, like, we're reading the people start bitching about hiatus and, like, bitching about the upcoming spoilers. And I was just thinking, like, how, like, would it be better if we got this half spoiled? Like, how mundane the spoilers would be? Like, Coda plays baseball. Everyone's greedy. They take naps. Like, it's just, like, the most boring spoilers you could ever think of. Tyler's dad's dubbed. Like, it's just, like, all this really dumb stuff.
We wouldn't know
I guess.
Tyler's dad is dubbed because it would be
That's
in a
true.
different language.
That's
It
true.
would
You're
already be
double
dubbed.
helped. But, like, it's just funny, like, that's the most eventful thing that's happened, really, is his dad. Like, everything else is, like,
Yeah.
filler. So it'll be, like, just a list of. I was just picturing the forum, like, bullet point spoilers you read. It's like all these filler things. It's just, the idea is funny.
I'm honestly looking forward to the spoilers more than I ever usually am, just 'cause I want to know if there's anything to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's the point where I'm at with this show. Like, I still appreciate certain things about it, but this whole filler streak has just been so mundane that
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the international spoilers just to know if I have anything to be optimistic about whatsoever. And
Yeah, 'cause
I
like, and then
feel
it does.
like go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go.
Okay. I was just gonna say, I feel like there is a little bit of optimism to be had because there's so much to do still in the series.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, what we've had so far, it's very I feel like this show is probably, at least Supercharged, is gonna end up kind of like a typical Sentai. Like, it starts out pretty good, and then it peters away, and then it ends good. I feel like that's what it's gonna be.
Like, if it goes at this pace, though, it might end up being like Ninja, where, like, it just all of a sudden has to get going within the last 3 episodes. Because when you think about it, we have quite a bit of ground to cover in terms of content in a very short amount of time now. We wasted a lot of time in this first half, which is kind of disappointing. And it's kind of funny because of, like, how we had to cram two series last time, and it's just, I don't know, it's funny. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing the spoilers because I think part of what hasn't helped it, like, even I was excited when Dino Charge first started, but, like, the overhyping from Dino Charge proper, and then, like, all the interviews at, like, Comic Cons and stuff with, like, Chip and the cast saying Supercharge was even better than Dino Charge, and, like, so far it hasn't. I'm like, well, we're waiting. Like, every episode, we're like, all right, this is going to be the one. Nope. Didn't happen.
The only thing I could think of is that they were filming the final episodes at the time. And so that was what is ingrained into their skull when they said that Supercharge was going to be a whole lot better. That's like my only
Maybe.
hope at the moment is that they forgot all the crap that happened at the beginning of the series.
Yeah, it's like this is like I said, we're wasting a lot of time. Like when you think about it, like when I, because I was really into Dino Charge at the beginning, but like over the hiatus, like I got to rewatch the episodes several times on like reruns, and like while rewatching them and reflecting on it, it's not like they got worse, but it's kind of like, you do kind of realize not as much happened in Dino Charge as you thought. It was kind of fillery too, not to this extent, but like it does feel like we're wasting a lot of time here.
I think the thing about Dino Charge is that it masqueraded its filler a little bit better and was actually more entertaining of a filler. And I don't want to really talk about a whole lot about it because what I'm about to say is has to do with the episode, but
Yeah.
certain characters are not being handled well at all.
Yeah. Talking about the background characters, I know they're not even, doing their job. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know who you're talking about. But yeah, but like in the second half, I sort of noticed, like I think I mentioned in like the finale of Dino Charge, like I didn't feel that impact, like that sort of feel, like when there's that feel. Damn, I kind of said that. Of like when there's like something monumental happening, like I don't know, just I started to get that near the end of Dino Charge, but we'll see how it turns out. I don't think it's gonna be like an amazing second half. I think there's a possibility for it to be better, and to have some cool stuff, but I honestly don't see it turning itself around to be amazing. But well, I guess we'll talk more about the Dino Charge in the Dino Charge discussion. But yeah, we'll see. Because there was some other issue I was just gonna bring up, but I realized it also has to do with the episode, and then like it branches off, but I think honestly that's all. I can't think of any other news.
There's
I
some
mean,
fake arts, but who cares?
oh yeah, I mean, Necrom's an exclusive. That's all that's really happening. I don't know if Oki's gonna get it. We'll see. I might just have to Bond Rocket it. I don't know.
Boost is retail, I think.
Boosto, Ghosto.
Boosto.
Like this week when he's like, Takaru wouldn't help. I saw him holding up the boost icon, and then he just kind of petered out. I'm like, good, stay back. Like, reach into your left pocket. You see the standard ghost icon? Can you just pull that one out? Like, I don't want to hear Boosto! Ghosto! All right, speaking of, now it's time for
Superhero time.
weird Scooby-Doo thing that Kiefer never tried to correct. You just let it go. Okay.
I'd like get the geochanger out and try to do the geoger thing, but that's too much work.
God, remember when we had props and like we were like super concerned about who had what belt to do the noise? Oh man,
Did
this
you get the
show's
toy yet?
Scooby-Doo.
No. Oh, we can't do it.
The things we worried about. All right, so we do Georgia first, right? Yeah. Okay. I always forget for some reason. I think it's because we were just talking about a ghost.
Larry
Okay,
for
so
president.
Georgia. Larry what? Larry for president?
Yes.
I mean, his
Larry
hairstyle is
for
pretty similar to Bernie Sanders now, to be honest.
Larry's the fucking best. He like didn't even do anything super awesome in this episode. I just fucking love him. I don't know.
I think he's because he's a gorilla.
That's why he's my Twitter avatar right now. Cause
yeah,
literally the best. Larry is the cinnamon roll of Zyoger.
Way better than that Larry from, you know, Pawnee. That guy.
Fuck that guy. They're both old.
But, he's actually going to be voiced by him here in America. It's going to be a thing.
Works for me.
Jim but, Harvey, yeah, this
American Larry.
Now we're going to start a campaign for that like people did for Robert Baldwin to play Cyan. Larry for Larry. But yeah, I thought this was another pretty solid episode. It was nothing too monumental. I mean, we did debut something, and I was going to point out the same thing I said last week, was I appreciated that we separated the debut of the Gorilla Form and the Gorilla Zord, because, like, the way it's been going the past few years, that could have easily been smushed into one episode.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I'm glad we took the time.
If it gets adapted, I'm sure it will.
Yeah, probably. And it'll probably be a B-plot to whatever the filler is, which is the thing I was going to talk about. But I'll... Spoiler alert. But yeah, I can't think of too much else to say. I mean, we found out that him giving his... just I don't know why it sounds funny. The way they say it, too, the Juman power. Like, they emphasize it so funny. Like, made him lose some of his, like, life, which is... I don't want to say if heavy is the right word, but it kind of just adds a little weight to what he did. And it didn't really tell us anything new that much about his encounter with that Birdman, but it also, like, you know, says he probably gave some of his life force, too. And
it's also there wasn't, it's implying really... that the Birdman's old now, too.
Yeah. But, like, so there, other than that, there wasn't any new information, but I just do like that there's something like that that, at this point, like, I have something I'm curious about. Like, I think we talked about that at the beginning, that there wasn't a whole lot last year that plot-wise I was really curious about, and I do like their mythology they have going, and I'm curious to learn more about, like, the Juman world and, like, learn more about the bird guy and, like, why he chose Red, whose name I already forgot.
Yamada.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I think I'm glad that there's stuff there I'm thinking about, at least. The gorilla is super cool, and I really like Jewel Wild.
I do. I think the gorilla body is just looks a lot cooler than the eagle does.
Yeah.
Like, nothing against the eagle and, like, the main combination, but, like, the gorilla face and the head and little, like, shoulder things, the very Diesel O-esque shoulder flippy things on his shoulders, it just looks a lot cooler to me.
Well, I like the way that, like, his arms bend and he kind of fights like a gorilla when he's, you know, in the Megazord mode, and I think it's just kind of neat. Jewel King is still a baby, though, and everyone should love him and not be so hard on him. The series about blocks looks like blocks. 0 out of 10. Like, Jesus, people. I'm fighting a losing battle.
Mine are all configured into Wild Jewel King just waiting for their gorilla buddy. They're like, you're almost here.
Mine's just holding a giraffe cannon because, like, that's just cool. Like, you're holding a giraffe cannon.
Mine would be, but I stole it to take it to the casino, so.
Definitely gonna hit the casino up.
Yeah, but I'm so excited about this show. Like you said, like, this episode was nothing monumental, but it was enjoyable. Like, I watched it start to finish, had nothing to bitch about. I liked it. I liked all the characters in it. And I ended the episode going, that was really fucking solid.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to say that in quite a long time. So, I really like this show. I like it a lot. And I'm happy that I like it. It's a nice feeling. I like being happy.
We should do it more often.
Toku hasn't made me happy in a while.
It's been a rough ride these last few years.
It has.
Ups and downs.
But one thing I do want to give props to is just the choreography and effects team in general for the show are fucking stellar.
Yeah, it really is.
That morph, like, not really the morph sequence, but the roll call sequence, gives me fucking chills every time. I'm like, you just look it's so really cool. Damn cool.
It looks so pretty. Like, I there's the movements and the graphics, and like, it's just really cool. I love so much about it.
And the I love it when Geo Gorilla used the Eagleizer as like a vine and swung in with it. You don't know what the fuck he was attached to, but who gives a shit, really? That was really cool, and the end attack that they did was like the giant fist thing was that would sounds weird. I shouldn't say things like that.
It's happening.
But yeah, that was they killed Pudgy Pig pretty damn
epically.
Apparently, like I was told that like all the monsters are designed after previous monsters.
Oh, I guess kind of like how the Bokenger stuff was designed after Megazords.
Yeah,
that's like, kind of neat.
The reason I haven't really noticed is because most of them have been from like Showa series I haven't really seen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And this is the first one that had an element that I recognized and noticed. So,
see, that's the kind of shit I was talking about. Like, I'm surprised this is happening. Where I was like sure because I didn't want it that we were going to get an overblown anniversary. But this is what I'm talking about. I love shit like that where this show is allowed to be itself, and you do a cute little nods like that, and it's a neat little Easter egg. I'm sure we'll get some sort of dumbass crossover movie. I actually wouldn't mind if we did like a versus Super Sentai where we pulled like random five or six people out instead of like here's everyone ever, because I thought that was a really neat concept. But regardless, like I'm really happy about the way of doing that. Like, I know it's semi-close to Gokaiger being 5 years, but, like, we literally haven't stopped with Ryder. Like, it hasn't stopped this decade. It's been, like, the party that just never stops. And there's, like, five people left, and they're all Toei execs. But, like, so, like, I'm really pleased with that. Like, I liked the way Bokenger handled it with that. And I actually, back when crossovers did make me gag at the thought, I liked the versus Super Sentai concept where it was like who, like what random people are they gonna bring back, like with Once a Ranger and
yeah,
and
with I would totally like that for this. My only stipend is that they get at least one person from Gow Ranger, just because of the animal thing. I want to see what happens.
Let's get all the animal people together and just have them stand next to each other. Just so long as they don't interrupt. Well, you know what? I don't care because it's a ninja. But, like, on principle, don't interrupt the crossover movie. Never forget. Stupid dino crossover. But, yeah, like, I don't know how any anniversaries will go from here on out, but so far, like, I'm pleased with the way it's been handled. It's not overblown. It's not in your face. We'll see what the crossovers or special movies yield. But, like, even regardless of what that is, it doesn't appear to be affecting the show. Mm-hmm. And, like, at least we're not getting random cameos or anything weird like that. Like, I don't know, all of a sudden, like, a B-Fighter shows up. I don't know. Like, that's something, like, I'm surprised, like, Ninja didn't just have the White Blaster Beetleborg all of a sudden. What if we did that for Ninja? Like, all of a sudden, Count Fangula shows up. Or, like, Wolfie's in an episode. Like, what the hell? Or Furbis.
That's the one I want. Furbis episode? Be great.
Or Jeb the dog, like, just all of a sudden, like, I don't know, just, like, that's basically the equivalent of what Ninja was doing.
Oh, my God. It's fun, and I like that it's fun. It's an incredibly balanced show right now, and
yeah,
it's very, very refreshing.
So Ghost then?
Yeah.
Ghost.
All right. I'm going to start this one because I got words.
All right.
This episode had, this is like the episode that had the recipe to be a really good episode, except like one ingredient in it was like stale.
Is his name Takaru?
Possibly, yes. And it just made the entire dish suck. That is my thoughts on this episode. Like, Visually, I liked everything, but god damn it, I just wanted to punch Takaru in the fucking face. What the hell is wrong with you, you little sack of shit?
Whoa. So angry there. Like, Georgia just makes me happy and joy and butterflies. 4 seconds later, fuck you, Takaru! Die! I'm gonna curb stomp you! That's
well,
not exactly
it's
what
such
happened.
A fucking 180. It's like, we can save Gamma. Gamma can be our friends. He goes to the Gamma world. He sees one guy disintegrate. And he's like, fuck this, I'm out! These guys are the devil!
And Gamma like, is ISIS! Going like, to the Trump rally.
Oh, dude.
Damn it, Takaru, what are you doing?
He's just a Gamma. He's not even worth saving. He's your friend's friend. Calm the fuck down.
Like,
I'm sure he
that's
did try to kill you on several occasions, but look, he just is, he's trying to enjoy a juice box. Let him be!
It's adorable. He's Japanese. When they do stuff like that, it's cute.
Well,
that
was adorable in this episode. He was like, he was so happy to eat shit. He's like, food! Juice boxes! Yay!
He's always about 3 seconds from slitting the throat of that grandmother. I don't think she realizes it. It's like...
He's like, are you mocking me? I love their interaction. It's great.
He's like, are you mocking me? He's like ready to stab her right up her throat. And she's like, lol, let's keep trolling this guy. But like, maybe to a less extreme extent, but that's pretty much my thoughts as well. Like, if Takaru
I want to point out real quick that I totally played up that anger bit.
yeah. Like if Takaru hadn't had this weird 180 and then at the end have a very confusing, he was just saying random inspirational quotes. Like, that's what he was doing. Like, that did kind of taint what could have been really cool. Because the build-up has basically been him getting the approval of most of his heroic icon friends. So, like, this would have been a great build-up of him getting all this approval and support, and then, boom, like, the culmination of his efforts and his goals is this form.
I like how they just left. They're like, man, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
He just left.
But, like, that could have been so cool. And, like, I liked the scene where they all appeared, like, in the base and then, like, rallied. That was cool. Like, that would have had so much more impact. But Takaru, like, what the hell? Like, he saw Talbot's son disintegrate. And, like, he said, he's freaking out and he's all of a sudden racist against Ganma. And it doesn't make sense. Because it's kind of like the same situation with any sort of controversial science fiction issue, like with Inhumans or whatever. It's just like with regular people, there's good and there's bad. And you think he would understand that, especially with his little artist friend that keeps drawing on his annoying bald friend. so like, that, it was so annoying. And then, like, when Makoto punched him, I just, like, literally just, like, shook my head and said, classic Japanese problem solving.
I did, too. I was like, well, that was typical. I mean, to be fair, he completely deserved it. But it was still typical.
But it usually works. And then, like, he didn't even really resolve anything. He just said, like, I like my friends and good things. And so long as we're friends, we do good things, friends. Good. And just punched while saying that. So he didn't even really resolve his racism.
Go ahead.
No, did you understand if he resolved it? I didn't. He just said stuff.
I don't know. My biggest issue with this was that the rebounds, because there was multiple rebounds, were so quick. Like, he's all about supporting the Ganma, and then he goes to the Ganma world, he sees that, he comes back, and he's like, fuck that, these guys are awful. And so he spends, like, a majority of this episode going, Ganma are the devil, let's kill them all. And then, like, his fucking dumbass friends are like, friends! And he's like, oh yeah, goodness! And... like, he's back to normal. I'm like, they didn't even say anything worthwhile. They're both completely stupid. But whatever stupid thing that they said, it apparently got through to his stupid brain. And it worked. It snapped his little bad switch off or whatever. I don't know. But, like, everything was happening so quickly that it it didn't work for me. Like, I mean, I understand it's a 20-something minute kids show, but like, I feel like this, if this was padded out a little bit better, I wouldn't have cared so much. 'Cause when you think about it, I mean, he went to the Gum World. He saw everything going on with the capsule things, and of course, jumped to hasty conclusions about what the capsule things were. And hi, Hana. And then he comes back, and he's naturally angry because he thinks that they're kidnapping people and stuffing them into capsules. And I mean, he's also mad at Alon because he basically turned his friend into a little weird puppet. And so like he's reasonably mad, and I think he has the right to be upset. But the quick heel turn without any valid explanations and the jumping to conclusions is something I don't like. I understand it, but as a person, that's not something that I like. I hate it when
I
people
think
jump
it's
to
the extreme
conclusions.
level
Yeah, it's
after.
just it was like super spiked. It was just like I said, it was a complete flip. It was a I support Gamma to I fucking hate Gamma, like all in the matter of a couple minutes between episodes.
I think that it should have been more, the anger was specifically more directed at Necrom, if to make it work better, because it comes off as weird. After he's already befriended a Ganma, who he just saw a few seconds earlier before he like freaked out.
I know. He
And
like
like there
knocked
was
away.
also.
I felt so bad for him. He knocked away his fucking paint pad thing.
Yeah,
You just like,
bitch.
fuck you, bitch. The only part I did like about that whole thing is when he started mocking Akari for liking science. That was about the only thing I approved him the entire episode.
Fuck you, science. And then, like, there was also that one from last week, which ended up dying, but it still showed, like, a Ganma with honor. So it's like, it comes off as awkward. Like, it should have been more specifically directed at the evil Ganma. And, like, even so, like, I feel like the resolution should have more or less been something like I was saying, where he's like, well, there's good people and bad or something. Instead of just, he really wasn't, unless it could possibly be a bit of issue with translation, but from what I got, like, what he was saying was just nonsense. And I didn't feel a clear resolution, other
And
than his friends were like, "Hey, you're being a real turd monkey," and then he
like
realized it, and then just said a bunch of stuff.
and all he really needed was an explanation. I mean, Alan was like, they're my people. We do this so that there's no death. And it's like, oh, well, why did that one guy disintegrate?
Okay.
I mean, like, seriously, it's a. I mean, the Gamma World's fucked all hell and back, but it's a noble-minded thing. I mean, it's not like they're hurting these people. They did that so that they could live longer, and I don't know, you never see any other fucking people in the Gamma World, but whatever. I don't know what goes on over there. But, I
None
mean,
of the
of course,
last.
there could be some weird corrupt thing going on, because we already have. I hate calling him Adele because it just doesn't work for me. But
It's really funny whenever I hear it. You just start hearing
but
hello and like Fire to the Rain and all those songs and.
I mean, you already got that guy that like killed his father, and I'm not sure if his father's actually dead because I don't know how fucking Gamma life works anymore. But and so he took over, and obviously he just wants to fuck shit up because he's an asshole. But so I mean, there is corrupt things going on in the Gamma world, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe people are happy there. I don't know. It's very red over there, and apparently a future plot point is like trying to turn the Earth red to make another Gamma world. I don't know, but the
Helheim.
moral of the story is Takeru is a dick.
Yeah.
Like I only
Like,
like semi liked him, and now I just don't really care.
he's honestly been pretty generic. With, I mean, he has had growth in terms of getting braver and a little more skilled, but this was just an annoyance. But like I said, it could have been cooler because I liked the build up with getting to know the forms and their like actual personality, sort of, at least some of them. and like the cool scene when they all appeared before Grateful happened. I think it's more part of like what we probably already discussed when we initially saw, but I think it's interesting that this form is just its own belt instead of an attachment. So he'll probably be doing that instead of boost, which is kind of nice until we get whatever in the hell's next.
Like, I want to see how it works. Like,
Does
'cause
he have to
I
go
mean,
ghost first? Is that what you mean?
well, yeah, I mean,
Because
I
I don't
want to
think he
know,
did.
does he have to go ghost first or whatever? And, which, I mean, isn't a thing because you're right, he didn't. So, I mean, that's not really it. But, like,
Yeah.
obviously, all the ghost icons have to come together in order for it to work. So, like, is you put it on and they, like, just all just leave wherever they're with. They're like, hold on,
Like,
I'm needed over here with this guy. Makoto's,
Makoto's
like,
just
in the
flying around.
middle. He's flying,
Fly
and Houdini is like, oh, hold on, I'm out. He just falls.
Makoto dies again.
He finally comes back. He comes back to life in his normal human body. He's flying around. Takeru doesn't know. He transforms so he kills Makoto again for real, and he can't come back. Well, hold on, I gotta collect the 15. I wait.
He just spends the whole season like in a full body cast.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Makoto
cause
died. That was the thing that happened that I forgot about.
now he's a Ganma for real.
So
He's gonna be the final
his
big bad.
probably. So his like icon body died, and so now they have to
Yeah.
go to the Gamma world again
Again.
to get him again.
Yeah, like the preview was like, we're gonna go get him no matter what or whatever. I'm like, wait, isn't this the preview from 2 weeks ago?
We gotta go get him. Oh, here's Geo Eagle because it's the crossover episodes.
I forgot about that. Like, it was at the very end of the preview too. It's like normal episode, normal episode, normal episode. Eagle. I'm like, wait. It's kind of like I don't
Yamato, can
remember.
you make the show happy?
Larry just shows up. Like, I'm
Fuck
trying to
yeah,
remember
I'm
what's happening
sorry.
in Drive, but I mean, Ghost certainly isn't as plot heavy as Gaim was, but it's definitely happening at an inconvenient time.
Yeah.
Not quite on the level of Gaim where it's like, oh my god, this is agony. But still. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works, because he'll probably be using the form decently because they want to sell the toy. Like, he has been using Boost a lot, and so, and it's like the fact that he needs all those icons makes it a bit of a pickle, unless he just keeps going Boosto, Ghosto.
Whatever makes boost use less is okay in my book.
Yeah,
I'm
okay,
still like
anything
mad at
else?
that toy in general.
The sunglass slasher or the
Well, the sunglass slasher is just shit anyway. But the boost icon for just not saying boost when I press the button, like fuck that thing.
You wanted to say boost, oh ghost. They should all have at least that little electronic where they make that icon activation sound that's in the shell.
Yeah, I like that noise. That noise is cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
But
that was awful because my voice cracked, but
I still think I hate the sunglass slasher more. The what does it say? Like Kasumi or whatever the fuck it says. I don't think it says Kasumi, but like its jingle is like the most annoying thing to ever happen to humanity. Speaking of, now it's time for
damn sure suggestions with Shuki.
Ciao.
God, fuck Riley. Fuck him right in the butt. Like, not even in the enjoyable gay way either, but just like with a knife or something.
Oscar, you would love jail.
Okay, not even touching the baseball portion of this episode. What the fuck are they doing to Riley? Like, they don't even know what to do with him. He is this. He's a
Plot device.
fencing expert, cook, baseball loving track and field expert, smart, logical farm boy. He is an everything. He is whatever they need him to be that week. Oh my god. I liked Riley. I really did. I liked Riley a lot in Dino Charge. And then Supercharge came along and he just became everything ever. And now I hate him a lot.
I think that this episode especially is a funny contrast to the puzzle one where, like you said, he was thinking logically and, like, flashing on stuff using the, you know, communication effect from Megaforce. And he was like, I'm not leaving my friends behind in this one. He was like, oh, you guys need help? Fuck that. We got the finals to get to. We're this close to making it to regionals.
And fuck that. What the hell? Baseball!
And what the hell kind of timeline was this where he got so famous so fast? It seemed like okay. It happened over 12 hours, but, like, 3 months at the same time. Like, it was very confusing.
Even if Coda was signed on, like, days before, like, the start of the quote-unquote World Series, this episode still takes place over the course of at least a month. if he signed on near the start of the season, this episode takes place over the course of 5 to 6 months.
And yet at the same time, all that time would still take place in the summer of 2015.
Yes.
Like, no matter what. No, I mean, the 6 months that took place in June, we're still not even in July yet.
And,
like,
you know the best part? They could have just completely rectified the timeline to where this episode took place over, like, the course of a week or two instead by just saying it's a big, important game or, like, a tournament or something, and not called it, like, the championships.
Yeah.
That's not how baseball works. Like, it's not how baseball works anyway!
Brian just angry all over the place today.
Fucking Chip. Because he approves every prop and line and decision in the show. So fuck Chip.
He's like, this is gold. This is going right out. Like, so that was, like, that's just one part of it. Like, honestly, it's just, at best, it's a generic filler. Like, this is where my annoyance, like, with the fandom comes in.
Like, there was bits, I don't want to write it off completely, because there's rewind a bit.
You just lost control completely there.
There were bits that I laughed at or liked to an extent. I liked it in the Kyoryuger episode, but the villain training montage I thought was kind of funny. about half of that I think was Kyoryuger footage, but I still liked that, and like anything involving Coda trying to learn baseball was okay to me. And so there was bits that I liked, but like Riley's entire-ness damaged a lot, and like the timeline confusion and just the absurdity, like, of everything.
Like, well, multiple things. Like, first off, my usual like fandom rant is that, like, the fandom, like, still, there's, like, even though people are noticing stuff now, the fandom still likes to ride the show's dick, and Yoshi specifically. And, like, so, like, even taking away any negativity, like, even with the rosiest of rose-colored glasses on, this was, like, an average filler at best. And I don't think it helps that, like, multiple people from the cast were saying this is their favorite episode. It's like, what, I think it may more so they meant it was their favorite to film.
Because yeah, I could see where it was really fun to film.
So they need to say for, that.
Especially for, like, Yoshi and stuff. I think it'd be really fun to film. And
yeah, so they need to say that, because when you say it's your favorite episode, like, that just, like, makes me question your judgment as a human being. Because this was a pretty shitty filler episode. And like I said, even, like, if you're, like, a super Dino Charge Yoshi cult member, it's not that good even with the super rose colored glasses on. So like that was something that didn't help with this episode. But also, I thought about the same thing too involving Riley with his behavior in this episode, which is like sort of ties back to his behavior in the track episode, is why isn't this interrupting his energy jam? Like,
Yeah, I don't know.
I hate to bring that up, but if they never made that a mechanic, it wouldn't be an issue. And like I would say that
Riley's Energem doesn't have issues
it doesn't work.
with
Well, yeah, because like
with
I would
being
say,
bad.
because to be honest, I have zero problems with using your powers to cheat. I don't give a fuck. So long as you're saving the world, it doesn't matter to me what you're doing. But I would say that cheating at a race or blatantly ignoring a threat to go to a baseball game is far worse than making fun of someone's taste in music, which Chase did. It's like I make fun of people constantly. It's like I don't know. It's just I think that's completely
Yeah.
uncomparable things
I was
that
trying to think
Chase
of
is.
when that happened. I forgot Chase couldn't use
Yeah, the
the
Dino Armor X,
Dino
because
Armor X
Tyler only ever used
because
it. So
Tyler's the only one that ever used it.
yeah,
Fuck
but that
Chip.
bothers me. Like that's the logic here with that. Like the rules are so case by case for anything, whether it's Energem interruption or Zords getting sick or whatever in the hell. And if he didn't bring it in, it wouldn't be a problem. But if you're like, okay, so Chase is gonna get interrupted because he laughed at Shelby for liking One Direction or whatever, but Riley basically being a huge tool doesn't. It makes no sense.
The only thing that they have kept, excuse me, that's what I think. The only thing that they have kept consistent is them not aging. That's about the only mechanic that they have kept consistent
Yeah.
since the Energems were a thing. And that's
That's
mostly because
so.
they can't really age over the span of like the year that they film, but I mean, in terms of like fiction on why Coda's young and Ivan's young and Tyler's dad looks like Tyler's bro, but
Yeah. Both with
like
the same blank
that's
expression.
the only mechanic of the Energem that they have kept consistent, like whatsoever. So.
And in this episode, we also got, like, with the victory charger or whatever. And, like,
Fuck,
that
I
doesn't
forgot that even
necessarily.
happened.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, that doesn't necessarily deserve a big blot or something, I guess. But it kind of, in this episode, made me think about how it bothers me that. Through both series, that so many things introduced like that, like different weapons or chargers or whatever, always feels like a B plot or even like a C plot. It's like an afterthought. And like in an episode like this, if not necess like I said, necessarily the charger wouldn't be a huge blowout, but I shouldn't feel like the introduction of a new device should be the A plot, and then your dumbass baseball stuff should be the B plot. And like that's happened a lot in the series where the filler plot is the A plot, and then whatever's being introduced feels like B plot. And like honestly, it's exactly what people complained about for Megaforce, which is the explanation for everything is here. That's like the explanation, and like it
It's
bothers
the
me.
same explanation here.
Yeah, exactly.
Is here. I made this
For reasons.
with my smart powers.
And like, that's exactly. And like, it's even worse for Supercharge and Super Drive. But it shouldn't feel like that. It's just awkward. And I don't think there was anything else much to touch on other than that. But I really hate that. That it feels like an afterthought and that you're putting filler first. Kendall did make it out into the field today, though.
Yeah,
You know, she was in
she
the
showed up
Zord.
for work. It was great.
You know,
She got to
something.
be in her Zord.
I meant to tweet about this, and I'll probably still do it later, but I was going to tweet about it this week, but since she went out, my point was, like, invalid. But you know, something else that bothers me about her not being out in the field is, like, the episodes where they make such a big deal about all the Rangers being there. Which kind of bothers me about the Coda thing where they just let Coda and Riley go. When at Christmas, Chase just wanted to go visit his sister and they wouldn't let him. Like, It especially bothers me after there's six members because like there's five people handling it. So I'm like, so what's the difference if they let Chase go visit his sister and we use Ivan in the fifth slot? Or we have Kendall now, so you could have five or six Rangers do something no problem. Like it bothers me, little things like that. I'm like, Chase has to go all the way to just let him go see his sister. He's the only member that likes here. It's just, I hate stuff like that. Like I hate that logic. I'm like, you're such an ineffectual team if you need six people to solve every problem. It's like, geez. Send in the Avengers. We need all of them to solve this. But, like, stuff like that bothers me. I'm like, well, you have Kendall now. You can let Chase go now. Let O'Reilly douche it up. What career is he going to have next week?
I'm looking forward to how long Riley's resume can get by the end of the show.
It'd be really funny if it became an unintentional reoccurring bit. Like, whatever happens, he's like, all of a sudden, this is his dream.
I never had the skill to play baseball, but I loved it.
Oh, man. And so, next week's big mid-season finale is about greed. So, that'll be thrilling. And it's about my favorite Ranger, Bootleg Ichabod. So, that'll be fun. We have lots of stuff to look forward to. Next week's filler, the hiatus bitching, the spoiler bitching. Who knows? We're getting such an early start on stuff. We'll probably get like an early look at Ninja Steel hiatus bitching. We're already stalking the cast members that aren't even going to be cast members.
Great. I like
Okay.
really I don't care. Like whatever. Move along.
It's fine. Move along. Okay. Now it's time for.
Ramble, ramble, ramble time.
Pokemon's back! And it's the best thing about Ramble Time. Not really. But did you ever watch the amazing episode last week about the Litleo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I
So
did.
amazing. The only thing I thought about in that episode was remember when. It was rumored that like Jesse or something was gonna get one
Oh,
because it was in
yeah.
that like Gashapon set or whatever.
Yeah, I still don't know why it was there. But
Yeah, I don't know either.
never panned out, clearly.
Yeah. But that episode was pretty generic. This one was a little bit because it was so oddball, it was kind of more entertaining to watch, even if I was sort of half paying attention.
I just like the voices in this episode.
Yeah. It was funny. It's kind of
Froakie's
like
voice was great.
it was like Gilmon, basically. And like it kind of reminded me in a way of the episode, I don't remember the title, but the one in the original series when the Pokemon were talking to each other, but like it was subtitles.
Yeah, the
Yeah. The Island
shipwreck.
Adventure one. Yeah. It
It
was
had
right after the
shipwrecked in
SSN.
the title.
Yeah, it was like right after the SSN and there was giant Pokemon, but it reminded me of that. But yeah, and then like they were basically like, I think Kiefer said it on Twitter, like Digimon like being able to go back and forth.
Yeah.
And like Squishy sounds like an evil genius.
Squishy had the fucking best voice. Like, now I'm just gonna look at that fucker and just always picture his cute little grunts in that sophisticated genius voice. Then
He's like
again,
a little butler named Jeeves.
it was his dream, so I guess he gets the coolest voice. But
Yeah.
and I mentioned this in the pre-show banter, but we always make fun of Ash. Like taking out his Pokedex and looking up Pokemon that he should clearly know exactly what they are. And this little fucker looks up at the top of the tree and goes, "It's Darkrai." Out of all the goddamn things you remember fucking Darkrai.
Oh, Ash. You know what's funny about that is that With the exception of, like, I guess last year, because I don't think Iris had a Pokedex, but, like, you have the female character that has the Pokedex, so, like, when you run into, like, a Doduo or, like, a, I don't know, a Hoothoot or something, like, if Serena or May or Dawn pulls out her Pokedex, boom, that's taken care of. The kids are learning about the Pokemon from this new character. But, like, there's no reason when both Ash and the female has these Pokedexes that they need to both pull it out for a Hoothoot when they know what it is. Like, if Ash wants to pull it out for a Litleo or something when he's new to the region, but that is really funny.
He just got pulled out.
Dear God. To be fair, this is the kid that tried to have Bulbasaur use Whirlwind.
Was successful, though. So what does that say?
Well, but I love, like, the idea of, like, what didn't happen in the show, but I always just picture Bulbasaur, like, looking around nervously, and you have, like, that animated, like, bead of sweat rolling down, and then he's just like,
Bulbasaur, Whirlwind. That's not so okay.
it worked, and he this sounds so bad, but he blew his little heart out. But yeah, like, that's just funny. It's just a funny thing to think about. Little Bulbasaur, like, looking around, like, does this guy realize it's not even my move pool? Classic Ash. All right. I think TMNT is back. We don't have our resident TMNT corpse here.
Yeah, TMNT was back last week. It wasn't on this
Yeah.
week.
Was it? Okay, because I feel like Kiefer was, like, lamenting that he was hoping that Kevin would be back to talk about the crossover thingy or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
that's this coming week.
Oh, okay, so maybe, like,
It's
okay, then hope
airing
for
on Easter Sunday for whatever reason.
it's the Easter special.
But yeah, I am looking forward to that. It looks kind of cool, but whatever. We'll talk
Right.
about it if he's here.
But speaking of things that are more important, Supergirl.
Yes.
I thought this was another really good week, because we got Martian Manhunter stuff, and we found out old-timey Superman is still alive.
Old-timey Superman.
He's not quite as old-timey as, like, the old guy that looks like Spencer Truman. Did he die? I don't remember. He got paralyzed or something. I don't know what he's doing. He's not relevant anymore. He's not even Shaw or the new Superman. But I liked getting, like, I mean, it was mainly about Martian Manhunter, in terms of the flashbacks, but I liked getting sort of little tidbits of, like, Alex back when, like, she's like was a party girl, and even, like, it wasn't really necessary information, but I kind of liked the flashback when Kara got her job, and she revealed herself to Lucy in her dumbass hat that I just want to knock off her head. Like, it's just really dumb. Like, what's the purpose of the hat? Like, I just, I'm just, I just
I was talking to my mom about it because we went out to lunch and she's like, "Didn't you just want to punch Lucy?" And I said, "Well, yeah, she was kind of a bitch, but I think overall I just really didn't like her hat." And
Yeah,
my mom
like,
just
it's
said
so
her hat was
obnoxious.
my mom just said her hat was fucking stupid.
It's like, what is even the point of that hat? Like, I'd be like, oh, hey, Lucy, hat, boom. Stupid hat, she
And
pisses me
she's
off.
like, "I think the military, like, actually wear those hats." I said, "Then we
I
all
don't
need to
care.
write Obama and tell him to change their uniforms."
Thanks, Obama. Like, I really don't care if it's regulation. It still looks stupid. It's just like how I make fun of, like, how the Japanese cops still, like, wear the same funny old-timey hats, or, like, what's her name, from
Kiriko's
Drive, with
hat.
the uniform, and they all, like, wear gloves like creepers and use revolvers. Like, I don't know. It's just really funny. Like, it seems like they haven't updated their shit. Like, they're all still 1950s cops in Japan. Like, they have, like, iPhone toilets, but they can't, like, update their cop uniform. Not even Winnie the Bish the cop. 0 out of 10. I don't know. But, like, it's completely about Supergirl. But yeah, she's like, her hat didn't help her bitchy character. Like, she came around at the end. I still don't like her. I think it's interesting that she's going to be head of the DEO. And,
Yeah,
like,
I
her and
hope she
Supergirl, like,
doesn't
let's.
have the hat.
Like, she's like, oh, God, that would be the worst thing ever. It's just gonna be like every week of Stupid Hat and Supergirl being like, "Hey, let's be pals," even though I want to ride Drax's boyfriend. But I think that was kind of interesting that like it didn't get resolved completely, and so Jean and Alex are on the run now. They're gonna go meet up with Hunter and Bobby and join Marvel's Most Wanted, starring Hunter, Bobby, Jean Jones, and Lil Grey. But still, like I didn't expect that. I thought it was cool to see, like old like Hank before he was a Martian was a total dick.
I
He
know,
was like,
right?
the ultimate like company man, real shield guy that was like, fuck aliens.
Ultimate dick.
Jesus. But yeah, like I thought that because I remember him telling the story, but I didn't remember like if Hank was a painted as any sort of good guy. So yeah, he definitely wasn't. And it obviously looked like their dad got killed, but he's not. So he's at this experimental facility. So I kind of always assumed he was probably going to be alive, in some way. But so we got a little bit about that. And honestly, like everything else was, or everything in the episode took place like in a flashback or like more like smaller stuff. Like there wasn't any villain of the week really or anything. I mean, we had Supergirl saving a bank at the beginning in footage and like being heckled and shit.
The villain of the week was basically that government guy that's supposed to be the guardian.
Yeah, and Lucy's hat was actually the big bad of the whole season.
Lucy's
No,
hat.
no matter what happens, Lucy's hat is the worst thing that ever happened to anyone. And then there was like, it was kind of cool though, like the bike, like prison breakout thing, because I honestly I don't know why. I guess I thought it was Jimmy and Lucy for a second. Like, I don't know why Jimmy would all of a sudden have amazing motorcycle skills, but
Well,
I
why would
didn't.
Kara have amazing motorcycle skills?
Well, no, but I guess that too. But like, because she's Supergirl, I don't know why she would be on the motorcycle. But then I guess it's because she's like hiding her identity, and even though
Right.
she totally like fucking Flash vamp speeded that guy, where she was like, boom, punched. But still, it was cool. What else? Is there anything? Was there anything? Oh yeah, Siobhan tried to like frame Kara, and Wynn's like, "Boom, you've been winned," or whatever. He's like, "I'll work it out. I'll think of something." And so, I didn't expect her to already have powers. Like, so I didn't do any research on her character, so I don't know anything about her. So I'm curious, like, what the in-show explanation for that's gonna be. Like, I thought that she was gonna go through like the classic, "Oh, I'm mad about something. Why are you in a car?" And we're like hearing the wind.
It's my furnace. We go over this
Okay,
every week.
sorry, but like, I expected her to like fall into a vat of something. I don't know, but so she already has powers. Like I said, I didn't do any research.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they used to explain it. I mean, I knew she was Silver Banshee,
Yeah.
but that's about as far as my research went with her. I'm just like, oh, okay, she's Silver Banshee. She screams a lot. And then I closed the tab. That's about as far as that went. But so yeah, I'm interested to see how they explain it, because I mean, Livewire's was because of the lightning and it passing through Supergirl.
Yeah.
So I don't know if like she's going to be indirectly involved with why she has powers or something happened at some point or who knows, but
Yeah, because I didn't expect her to already have it. So, well, unfortunately, it still is that part of it is still happening pretty quickly. But still, like, I didn't expect her to have it, and like, I thought she was gonna go through the generic steps of everything. So, I like how Kat's like, "Oh, I can't believe they're not forgiving her already." I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't have issued that statement, being like, "Supergirl is the worst." Hashtag mega bitch. Like, Jesus. Like I said, she was
I
jumping the
still
gun
think
a bit.
that I still think that was really extreme. I don't know how much of it we
Yeah.
actually talked about in the on-air
Oh,
discussion.
yeah, neither do I. Like, because we talked about how she should have basically said, "Supergirl is under the influence of something. She's dangerous right now. Keep safe, but like have faith that she'll be cured or whatever, or you know, that we can help her and she can come back to being Supergirl, instead of like making it sound like Supergirl just all of a sudden decided to be the Bee from Apartment 23 and just attack everyone. Like, I think that that did more harm than good in the long run, I think, because like telling them to stay out of the way right now like saves people from getting hurt in the moment, but like honestly, people being less cooperative to Supergirl could, you know, cause problems in the future. Plus, it just makes Kara sad, which is not fun. But yeah. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good episode. I liked it.
It was cool.
Oh God, Faraway Brian has made an appearance.
I went to turn the heat off because I'm getting hot and the furnace is obnoxious. I also really wanted some candy.
But next week is the only week that matters because it's the Flash Supergirl thing, and it's going to be super fun. Super fun. It's really funny. When I went to go watch like the few-second extended version of the teaser on YouTube, and like one of the comments was, "You mean the cutest puppy in the world is going to meet the other cutest puppy in the world?" I was like, that describes it pretty accurately.
Yeah, that just describes the both of them. Like, they're fucking adorbs.
Yeah, that's hashtag totes adorbs.
Why isn't the furnace turned off yet? Christ!
I don't know, but I think that's a good segue into Flash. Unless there's anything else to say about Supergirl.
No, it was an incredibly good episode. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of discussion point, so...
Yeah, I think we covered it all, so I think we're pretty good. Whistler's still taking a holiday. You know how he do? Just chilling in the Sona sewers, eating rats, passing them off to Bellick in his tiger pants. Sucre's gonna be in the prison break thing and C Note, so I think Teabag too, so we're all good.
That's everyone except like Tweener and
I don't think Tweener's dead, remember?
Oh, is he?
Not in real life. He got killed because he, like, didn't rat them out, and then Mahone killed him. Because that was when Mahone was taking out all the members of the Fox River 8.
Oh, okay. I don't remember things.
Yeah. I think Haywire killed himself. Because he, Haywire had such a weird arc. He's like, I'm going to go eat at this old lady's house and have peanut butter and jelly, and then look at this painting and try to go to Sweden and then kill myself. That was Haywire's arc. And, like, Penny was in it. For like 4 minutes, like I don't know. I don't know if it's been. I think the only person I can think of that I haven't heard about being signed on is Mahone, but like everybody else, it was like majors in it. We got Lincoln, Mike, Sarah, Teabag, Sucre, C Note, and then like a couple new characters. And that's all I can think. The bitch guy is dead, aka Don Self, or the whore guy. That's what it was. I think, no, Gretchen's still alive, so she can still make an appearance. So, we'll see. Anyway, that was the brief prison break discussion. yeah, The Flash. I thought The Flash came back really strong.
When does it not?
Well, I thought that, I honestly didn't think that it was going to be a filler episode, but I think it's funny that the previews for, like, this episode and then the King Shark episode, like, make it seem like, oh, it's going to be a fun episode with, like, a shark, or a funny episode with a girl speedster, and lol, she's a girl, and stuff like that. And then, like, it always ends up being, like, a monumental episode of, and not monumental is almost too strong a word, but you know what I mean. Like, serious stuff happens, but, like, the previews don't make it seem that way. Like, I think that her motivations were kind of generic, but I like trajectory as a villain, like, in terms of the performance and, like, whole... like Heckle Snide Jekyll Hyde thing going on, and they actually talked about when they found out that she was the same person, and they didn't avoid it for 10 episodes. They still haven't talked about it. Still, should we talk about? No, let's go play baseball. God damn it, you fucking idiots. Anyway, but I liked that aspect of it. I thought that was I didn't say it about this one, but I didn't do any research on her either. But like, I think that kind of made her character unique, and it's kind of a shame she appears dead, but it was a super kind of disturbing death scene.
Yeah.
Like, He's like, wait a minute, her lightning turned blue. Oh, fuck. clean up on aisle two.
Oh, fuck.
So, yeah, she dead. At least it appears.
Anyone want a suit?
There's a little bit ashes in here, but that'll wash right out. But yeah, I liked her. I think that the whole thing with Velocity 9, I think it not only acted as like a catalyst to them basically realizing Gay Jarek was Zoom or involved with Zoom, but also I think was some really good like seed planting, foreshadowing for like future speedsters like Jesse and Wally was in the episode, but I mean like just the concept of Velocity 9 and stuff as a potential way for how these people might get their powers later. Mm-hmm. And like the fact that Wally was in the episode might have been part of it. I don't know, but I think that it was just kind of a good setup all around. That's the sound of round too.
I heard that like I wasn't paying too much attention to it, but the watch went off.
It was going off because of Wally. Yeah, that's what I heard too. I heard people saying that because they were like, "Why would she have it anyway?" I'm like, "Well, it was because she found her dad's message. Like that was part of the reason."
Yeah.
So that could definitely be a thing. Like, I feel like you would know if he was a speedster, but it'd be interesting if he had something in him that would like activate if it combines with the Velocity 9 or something. I don't know, yeah. But I think that's definitely some. Obviously, we know at some point Wally's going to be getting powers, so it's just a matter of how. But
and,
that's definitely
and
something
to
think.
To push hinting even further, further. I said that really weird.
Further.
Like Jesse had the Velocity 9 in her for a little bit until
yeah,
they got it
that's,
out.
I can't see them not doing something with that. I mean, obviously, like I said, we know stuff.
My gut's saying that's gonna have like an effect on her.
Yeah.
At some point. So it'll be Jesus Christ, huh? Get down, like, you dumbass.
But I can't imagine like them not using that somehow. So, like I said, that's why it was kind of neat that the Velocity 9 kind of did actually quite a bit in this episode, in terms of setting up like things immediately and possibly things down the road, which is why it was like cool to have that, like thinking like, oh, this could be just an episode with a girl speedster. And then you got freaking low rent Black Jonah Jameson over here, like trying to tarnish the Flash's reputation. Like, I don't like this guy at all. I found like no redeeming qualities in him.
I just feel like it's something that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel like we need another love thing with Iris.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, she spent the beginning of this episode talking about how we were married in the future. We were married in
Barry's
Earth
like,
2.
Like, Peace Bibbs is way better. Get away from him. He's waiting for Peace Bibbs to come back. I really don't find Barry and Iris that interesting, just because it's kind of like one of those things where whenever there's like relationships, I like to see like, oh, I see why they're good together, or like why they're connected, and this is one of those things where I feel like we're being told. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, they're just really good together, so you should like them. So like, I really don't not too invested in that. I feel like Iris in general just needs better storylines. I think she had some strong stuff with like when the mom came back and with Wally, but like
that was when her character was the strongest, and now it's petered out again.
Because, like, with the exception of that, like, unfortunately, Laurel is kind of ignored a little bit, but at least, like, once she found out, she was more involved. But, like, it seems like even though Iris is involved and she knows stuff, she still has her really dumb B-plots that don't go anywhere often. Kind of like this stupid paper thing. So, like, I hope that they fix her a little bit. Well, we did sort of briefly mention it when we talked about the watch thing, but Jesse found out that I don't know. I was laughing hearing it, but what I'm about to say in my head that Wells murdered Turtle. I don't know why, but like I was like, you know, hearing the sentence about to come out, it just sounds funny. And then I almost said Myrtle Turtle, and then Bentley was like, "Hey Sly, he killed my friend Sly." I mean, the turtle was a creeper. Like, if he had killed, like, a misunderstood metahuman, but the turtle was a fucking disturbed freak. And he kidnapped Peace Bibbs. He deserved to get killed by sinus infection. It's like, boom, this is the ultimate nutty pot. And he killed him.
Oh my god. I forgot about that conversation. The
leave button. I had to make a callback.
Callback to last week.
Yeah, exactly. It was the best week ever, according to Kiefer. Well, not best week ever. Let's settle down. I think it's interesting that, like, at the beginning of this episode, I was thinking, this is the first episode we're seeing a lot of Jesse, and it's actually nice we're getting her more involved in the cast, and then she leaves at the end.
She left?
Yeah. And it's funny because they're sort of stuck there right now, but they're trying to reopen Earth 2 so they can finish off Zoom. But I'm thinking, I don't want them to leave when this is over. Like, I don't want us to have to either lose Wells as a character or have to get, like, a third Wells. Like, I'm hoping either there's
Can you there's imagine a reason. If there's a third Wells? Like, Earth 2 Wells leaves, and then, like, the beginning of Season 3, like, oh, we found Earth 12. Here's another Wells. He's going to teach you things.
I want the next Wells to be, like, a super, like, overly optimistic, happy guy that wears, like, knit sweaters and shit. Like, and is just, like, unbearably, like, infectiously positive. It would be hilarious. But, like, I hope that either there's, like, another reason, like, okay, we defeated Zoom, but we had to close the portals because reasons. Or, like, they decide to stay because I really like Harry. I mean, the actor does an amazing job as, like, all the Wells, but, like, I really like what they did with this one. I think he fits in well. Wells.
he fits in so well.
And for... it's too easy. And for how little we've seen her, I like Jesse, too. So I imagine they will be, but staying. I mean, she'll probably be reoccurring, but he'll be... Stan.
I feel half the reason we have Harry is just because Tom Cavanaugh was such a good actor that they didn't want him to leave. So, like, hold on, we can get another one of you.
It's like, we can get rid of Eddie. Yeah, so, like, I get a feeling he will be staying because there's just too much there in terms of talent and potential, but I just worry about that. But yeah, I just thought it was funny, like, oh, like they're actually doing something with Jesse now, and then she's learning about how Beyonce is actually like a senator or something on
Senator Knowles.
It's funny that that was referenced because I was just thinking, it was like within the last few weeks watching Supergirl, how like Supergirl has the most like us pop culture references. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, the Flash will have like nerdy ones, like when you know. Cisco reference like Star Wars or like Harry Potter or something, I don't know. But I mean, like, they'll have like really topical, like pop culture, like, you know, People magazine type references on Supergirl. And like, that's kind of quite a difference from like the Flash, Flare universe. Like, this was the first one that I could really think of. Because I think it was like this week they were implying that Kat was talking to like Kate. From like, royalty, so I think that's really funny. I just thought about that during that scene. What else was going on? I feel like there was something else to bring up. Well, they did sort of because you know Cisco was zooming all over the place like fucking Morgan style, and not zooming. What does he call it? Vibing. Sorry, vibing about Zoom. Damn it, my joke's all shot. Morgan is Zoom the whole time. He took it off, and then he it was Zoom. He pulled back his mask, and it was just, "Who wants to party with the freaking Intersect?" but so he was vibing on Zoom in like a baseball field or whatever he was in with lights on.
Like, what was that?
I kept expecting for like it to lighten up and to be like his little torture chamber or whatever. Because I thought maybe they were going to see him and then see other gay Jarek or something. I don't know. But what they did see was him pull back the mask as gay Jarek. And, like, Barry is just fucking done. He's like, fuck this shrine to this piece of shit and, like, crashed it. Fuck your helmet. What a terrible disguise. Cars, glasses are better than this. So, like, he was just done. Like, so they, at the moment, think that he's Zoom. I mean, it's all very confusing, to be honest. Like, even though we got an unmasking, it's almost more confusing now. like, because there's like questions of like, how is Hunter Zolomon involved? Is he? Was that just an Easter egg still, and like also meant to throw us off?
Are they twins?
Yeah, is Zoom a farther future version of Gay Jarek? And like he's getting sicker, so like, you know, kind of like how Reverse Flash is. I mean, he wouldn't be that far in the future as Reverse Flash, but so like I love that. I love the constant speculation and like me thinking about it. But right now they think they know absolutely Jay is Zoom. But like we know that there's a little more to it because he was like holding Zoom. He's like holding himself like a princess. And then there's the mask guy, which they obviously know about, but they're much more like they think they're much more clear on it than they actually are. But it's very interesting that like they got to the conclusion pretty quickly, which I didn't expect them to get to that in this episode. Like this episode still would have been a solid development episode if the Velocity 9 stuff had just led to like some future foreshadowing about the speedsters that are coming down the pipeline. But like it actually led to them finding out what the audience knows, more or less. But so that's super cool. And at the very end, we find out the key to getting to Supergirl's Earth 3 is going to the cliff face and screaming like Goku. Like, I was going to bring this up. I wish there had been more of a... Like, I'm curious to see how the transition happens. Like, what Barry's explanation is going to be for how he got there and whether he's going to address it all next week.
Because, like, I'm interested in finding that out, too. I've heard... I don't know how valid it is, but excuse me, I've heard that like the timing is off, and that like this actually happens later on in Flash's timeline, like 18 or 19 time frame.
Okay.
So I said I don't know how accurate that actually is, but I feel like that almost has to be true because. Like, I feel there would be more to it than what we got.
Yeah.
Because I think ideally you would want something to happen at the end of Flash that gets him to Kara's Earth and then play that same scene at the very beginning of the Supergirl episode because you wanted to kind of fill in the people that are watching Supergirl that don't watch Flash because I'm sure there's people like that. So to cover losers. Both bases, I mean, they are definitely losers for sure, but
probably wear hats like Lucy.
We'll find out next week.
At the very
probably.
Least, if the timeline's not off, at the very least, I'm hoping either next week's Flash or the week after, there's some sort of reference to it. Like just to like make it not weird. Because I know that, like, when they have smaller crossovers between Flare, I almost said Arrow and Flash. I mean, I almost said it opposite, regardless. But, like, sometimes when they do smaller crossovers, there's a bit of an awkward transition. Like, that one time Felicity was like, okay, thanks, bye, like, right in the middle of something super important. Mm-hmm. And, like, and sometimes they're not even addressed. Like, it doesn't necessarily need to be, but there's been a couple smaller, like, one character moveovers that like, were just kind of awkward. So, like, I'm kind of hoping not for that. Like, when he ran off, I honestly thought it was going to lead to that. Like, he was going to somehow trip into Supergirl's world or something. Like,
well, I thought been, he was like, going to run so fast that he did a dimensional rift thing.
Yeah, or I thought that, like, maybe one of the portals, like, there was something corrupt. Like, it was either a portal they hadn't discovered or there was something corrupt about when they tried to close it that, like, inadvertently opened a portal to a different Earth, and, like, he was going to run through that. Before, like, this episode, I thought that... Because before the hiatus, he was like, okay, we got to go back to Earth 2. I thought maybe when they were trying to reopen the portals that, like, a mistake would happen, and then they ended up on Kara's Earth. Mm-hmm. So, like, there was perfect opportunities for it. Like, we'll see how it happens, but... But also, like, sort of on the same lines of that... The whole trying to slander the Flash really didn't even touch Barry because he wasn't even paying attention to what Iris was doing. Like, it's such a good coincidence. Like, it could have been interesting. Obviously, I don't think it should have been on the level of what Kara is going through, but it would have been interesting for him to feel a little bit of that scrutiny and then be able to sort of bring some advice in reference to that over to Kara because it's like – kind of crazy how if something like that happens right around when Kara's going through this. I thought that could have been... I wouldn't want the focus of the team up to be, you know, keep your chin up or whatever, you know. But I thought, given that these two things are happening concurrently, would have been an interesting, like, bit of discussion for them to have as sort of a mentor figure for that. But I just thought that was kind of interesting that, like, the potential for Flash's name to be slandered is happening right when Kara's going through this. But yeah, we'll see how that all shakes out in terms of explanations. But regardless, I'm like ridiculously excited for just to see them interact. And like, I definitely hope it happens next year, opposite where Kara comes here, because like, I just want to see her interact with the supporting cast of Flash so bad.
Yeah.
Because like I've mentioned before, like I specifically like Jean and like Little Gray on Supergirl, but I still think overall Flash has a stronger ensemble. And definitely more entertaining characters, if that makes any sense. Like, I'll get a lot more humor out of Kara interacting with Cisco or Joe than I would, Barry interacting with John Jones. But I'd love to see John Jones interact with Cisco.
Can you imagine Kara with Diggle?
Oh, God.
His face around the Flash is already priceless. Can you imagine?
Oh, that would be amazing. Like, he just flies up and he's doing that little, like, double take, but, like, upwards. But, like, and I would love to see, like, Cisco react to, like, John transforming into a Martian. Like, it's stuff like that that I, like, live for. Like, trying to name things and, oh, God, Diggle reacting to John Jones? Like, he turns into a Martian, Diggle just flat out faint. Like, that would be it. Diggle would retire that day. He's done. He's changing his name. He's turning in his tiny brother. His brother could fit into his pocket. But, like, yeah, I'm excited for that. Like, to see these two interact and to see, like, see the potential if they ever do that again, like in reverse, because I imagine that would happen. I feel like I just want Cisco to run around meeting everyone.
They've already said there's talks about doing it next year too. So,
like, I know Supergirl hasn't gotten renewed yet, which I think is the only thing
I don't think
I'm worried about it. I don't think it did yet. But like, because that's, I think that's the only thing that I have hanging over, because S.H.I.E.L.D. got renewed a while back, and, like, almost everything I watch is on the CW, and they just renewed everything in, like, one day, so, like, I had nothing to worry about. And, like, everything else I watch is, like, staples, so I don't think it has, but I'm not too worried about it. But definitely, if it hasn't been, then I hope it does get renewed. I know that, technically speaking, in terms of day order, S.H.I.E.L.D. would be next, but usually makes more sense to talk about Arrow next. Don't we usually do that?
Yeah.
I can't remember what takes priority, genre or day. So many rules. Okay, Brian just... he's doing impersonation of Diggle, seeing John transform into a Martian.
I accidentally pushed Zeus. I'm sorry, buddy.
Diggle's reactions. Now, like, I just keep picturing a loop of that gif of, like, him doing that squint double take at the Flash running. Okay, so Arrow. Okay. I like Cupid because she's pretty. I do kind of like Cupid. I think she's kind of fun. I think she was a bit over the top, and like the topic she was upset about. You been rolling around doing a barrel roll?
I'm moving the snack tray that Matt's setup is on, I'm sorry.
But I think that, like, everything she was doing was a bit too on the nose in terms of what was going on with Oliver and Felicity. And, like, it was a bit almost too campy, but it was just her bit. But I think just, like, her appearance was kind of weirdly placed and, like, the topic. But, like, I do kind of like her over-the-topness. And I think if they had been able to keep the Suicide Squad, I really like the idea of her being a member of the reoccurring Suicide Squad. So, like, it's not really against her, but it's, like... This is, like, not sketchy territory to get into, but there's, like, huge fandom wars over this. But honestly, I'm pretty over Oliver and Felicity at this point. I'm not really... I was never one of those people that had too much invested in any of these shipping things or anything. Like, I always really liked Felicity, Personally, I think they were funner when they were friends, but I didn't mind them together. But I think that over the past 2 seasons, mainly in this back half here for this season, their problems have sort of put a damper on a lot of things. Like, I think they suck a lot of energy out of everything. Like, once they got together, I was hoping this was done, and I think there's too much focus on it. And I don't know, it just kind of bores me. I feel like putting so much focus on it also, like, doesn't leave focus for characters like Laurel. I feel like in this episode, the trial going on was more interesting. It was kind of like Dino Charge, but that was the B plot. But, like, that should have been what was important, like Damien Dark's trial and Quentin basically potentially ruining his career to put Damien Dark behind bars, give Laurel a chance to shine a little bit in the courtroom, give Zeus a chance to tap dance live.
That's Milo. He's
God
playing
damn
with
it.
it. He's playing with a cat toy and he's rolling around with it.
I don't know your dogs well enough to know their individual footsteps. But yeah, like that was the most interesting part of the episode for me, was everything involving the trial. I mean, I think that there were some good performances amongst, like, Steven and Emily, but it's just, I'm just kind of tired of that drama. And I don't know, like, everything about Arrow, like I said, I don't, like you said in the pre-show banter, it's like, I don't hate it or anything. I still enjoy it. It's just, it's such the weak link right now between the Olicity stuff dragging things down for me, Damien Dark being kind of vague, and other than being curious about what this whole farming plan is, it's not as intriguing as the villain stuff going on in Flash or the time travel fun of Legends. And then the flashbacks are, at least there's some sort of interesting stuff going on with some mystical things happening, but they're still kind of a drag. And then you have his companion Wartface, and it's just, they need to clean their act up.
I think it's a combination of kind of everything you said. I've never been against Oliver and Felicity. In fact, I still want them to be a thing. But the way that it's being presented is, it's this constant back and forth, and Felicity keeps freaking out about everything. And I want to like slap her and just go chill.
Just chill, man.
Netflix and chill. Netflix and Momentai. It's fine.
Like, I
Like
was
this.
hoping after that whole back and forth last season that this would be done. Like, they could just be together and it would be fine. Because, like, the first half of the season was all fine. They were
Yeah,
together,
I
it was all
don't mind
happy
them
and fun.
together. I think they're great together. But this constant back and forth drama and it's like it's all on Felicity's character too. Like Oliver's like, I want to bang you all day, all night, and
That's
Felicity's
exactly
like,
what he said in his vows. Word for word recreation.
Felicity's like, I really want to bang you too, but you know, girl problems and babies.
Well, like, I get that she's mad that he lied, but it was over something. It
He
wasn't like
had
he
no
lied about
control
being.
over it.
Well,
It's
yeah,
so
like,
dumb.
and it was something so huge for him. Like, I think he even said it in one of their arguments, like, I needed a minute to just deal with the fact that I just found out I was a dad. It's like, it was so huge for him, and like, there was conditions put on it, and it's not like he lied about going out to the club. And that's what she's sort of treating it like. Like, I get that it was a big deal, but I think she needs to understand how it was for him a little bit more. Like, it was a lot thrown at him quickly, and none of it was done with, like, an intent to lie to Felicity, like, maliciously in any way. And ultimately, a lot of it was just sort of selfless stuff involving, ultimately staying away from his son,
And I think that's what I hate the most. Like, I have always loved Felicity. I always thought she was a great, fun, quirky character. And then, like, this season in particular, they just kind of just push this whole bitchy, lying sucks, purism thing. I'm awful at words, but she's become so obnoxious that I hate that I don't like her right now. It bothers me because I'm like, you're the character I always liked, and then they did things to you.
Yeah, that's exactly, I think she got back to that a little bit in the first half, but, this bit here has kind of been like she was for most of season 3, where she's always super serious and, crying and emotional. And, I miss back when she was, super fun and, bitch with Wi-Fi and saying funny, awkward things. And, it's not like I don't want her to have a good character, because I think they could be doing a lot of the cool things they've done with her character without her being upset all the time. In this particular, sort of breakup drama, I wouldn't have even been as mad at if they had held off maybe till, next season or something. Because it's so close to all the drama from last season, where it was, back and forth, will they, won't they, Shaw was slipping it in there a little bit, literally, Zadam penis. But it was so recent, and we basically got a shorter window of time of peace. If we had waited a little bit and done something a season or two later, then it wouldn't have been as bad. But if they get back together, I definitely hope it's not like that constantly. It'd just be annoying. I don't think it should drag down the show and take so much attention away from everything else.
On top of the fact that Damien Dark is just a weak ass villain,
he's like a suburban dad.
I can't take him seriously. I just see the Paul Blart 2 villain. And
Why didn't they get Paul on the stand or any of the other mall cops that were there?
I can't do it. I think it's one of those things where, Arrow's always been this thing where there's always mysteries and mysteries and mysteries, but still not really knowing his motivations or intentions, I think just dragged him down even further, and now he's in jail with a ring.
And he's like, thank God, I got my replica of the One Ring. My precious!
I'm sitting here going, is the ring... Is it magic? Is he gonna get more magic again? Is he gonna do magic? I don't know.
Will his wife just get really mad if he doesn't have his wedding ring? Is it that simple? we don't know.
How did he get it in there in the first place? It's in my mouth. They check your fucking mouth. Goddamn prison guards. Not doing the job.
He used his magical mouth powers. That sounded... Nope. Just...
My tax money goes to paying you prison guards, and you can't even do your fucking job properly.
Brian's tax money specifically goes to the people of Star City.
Yep.
They just need to fix things up a little bit. I think next season, if you get all our Infelicity back together, less drama... We've done enough of it. Give a little more focus to some other characters. If it's the last year of them, do a strong flashback story.
Suck this year.
They haven't been good since season 2. I think what made that is because of the interconnectivity between the past and the present, and sort of you're like, okay, how did he and Slade become enemies? And you're sort of burning the candle at both ends, a description for. When you're getting tired, but it was kind of like that, sort of past and future sort of colliding, so you're filling the gaps. So that was interesting to me. So you're finding out what happened, and that was the best year it had still. So I'm hoping if it's the last year, I don't know what they'll do season 6 onward, but it's the last, the fifth year of the island. So I'm hoping we get a really strong finish, because I used to like the flashbacks, but now it's just do it when they're necessary. Kind of like Supergirl this week. The flashbacks at this point were necessary for Martian Manhunter, and then it wasn't really necessary for Alex, but it was we're not doing this every week. And we also got that Man of Steel Kara tribute. Forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
She saved people from a car. That was a weird laugh. I'm freaked out now. A little bit scared, to be honest. But yeah, they need to tweak some stuff up for next season. Like, I think that they were on the right track in certain areas, like at the beginning of the season, in terms of fixing things from season 3, but now they need to fix things from season 4.
Like, especially when they were like, oh, he's Green Arrow now. We're taking not like a more lighthearted approach, but a more comical approach to things, and there's gonna be a lot more fun. I'm like, oh, that was the case for a little bit, but now you just devolved into season 3 drama Arrow again, and
Thank God
nobody
we have
really
Speedy
liked
there to make fun
that.
quips. But yeah, they need to fix it up. I forgot about awkward things like Cupid thinking the Green Arrow and Arrow are different people, even though it's so obvious. And like, it's funny that like he's taking more dumb risks of being like in the limelight of like with the campaign stuff. And using himself as bait, like, oh yeah, he's working with Spartan and Speedy, and Black Canary wasn't there, but like, oh, but he's not the Green Arrow. No, he's wearing Kevlar to his wedding. Like, oh, but it's not suspicious. Like, I don't know. It's just he's doing super obvious things, and it's really funny. Arrow, you need to find your way again.
Like I said, I don't hate it. I'm just.
No, it's not like it's terrible. It's just. Especially when the Flash keeps getting better and Legends is starting so strong in its first season and it's doing so many cool things so quickly. But yeah. I don't have too much else to say. Ready to move on?
Yep.
Okay, so Shield then?
I was about to say, what are we moving on to? I forgot we got the Marvel side of things.
Yeah, Shield. Yeah, because Shield. This was Bobby and Hunter's farewell episode, which
It
I
was
didn't know
funny.
was.
We were just talking about it like last week or something. That
Yeah, and
they were like, oh, they're setting them up for the spin-off, and
spin-off.
then we're like, oh, that seems really early for that, and then they just did it.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. Like, I thought that if anything at all. They might plant some seeds of like where they're going, but I didn't think they were gonna leave. I honestly thought it would be like either close to the end or the end, but it's, I mean, we're in the last quarter now, but still, I didn't expect that. And all things considered, like how semi rushed it happened and like unexpected, I thought it was a pretty solid send off.
I mean, I didn't fucking cry or anything because I'm not that person, but
I got a
sorry.
lump in my throat a little bit, I'll be
Sorry,
honest. The last
George.
scene was well done.
But I was sitting there going, it's so sad.
Like, the last scene was fantastic, because I was thinking, like, well, they didn't even get any good moments with anybody, but, like, it was great because it was all unspoken, and it was all done through, like, the eye contact, and especially with Mac. Mac's gonna, like, make you cry being a giant
That's what
Mac,
made it so
like.
emotional. Like, there was no actual words. It was just all facial expressions and the sad music. And I'm
Yeah.
like, oh, it's taking every ounce of my body right now to not just cry.
Yeah, like, I got a little bit of a lump in my throat, I'll be honest. Mainly when Mac was, like, about to fucking break down. Like, can you imagine if he blew it? Like, if they all did so good, then he's just like, why? Why, Bobby? Why, Hunter? Why? He's just making a huge scene. Like, all right, our cover's not totally blown yet. We could still save this. Why are you leaving S.H.I.E.L.D.? He said it so loud. And then he just starts screaming, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s the real! It's still alive! Our address is... Like, damn it, Mac, can you keep your trap shut? Classic Mac. No, but it was such a well-done, like, goodbye for them, and, like, I know that they're not, like, never going to be seen again because they're getting their spin-off, but, like, I'm going to miss them interacting with the other characters. Because I really like both of them. They're usually two of my favorites, and, like, I really like that in season 2 when we added in all these new additions like Mac and Bobby and Hunter, and I thunk that, thunk? I think they bounced really well off the cast, and, like, especially Hunter being some more comic relief and like the quick wit and stuff. And I'm looking forward to seeing, hoping their spinoff first of all gets picked up beyond a pilot, but to seeing like their spinoff when it happens, hopefully. But like I'll miss them on the show for sure, because they've become such a big part of it. And but yeah, it was a good send off. And if their thing doesn't get picked up, they can come back. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what that show's like.
Do we have
Brian's
like
just
a?
So stuck.
I'm just enjoying my peanut butter M&M's. Leave me alone. Do we have like a synopsis for that show yet, or
basically just some loose concepts? Like when I was reading an interview yesterday, they talked about some other actors are in it, but I forgot who they were already. But like, it's basically, from what I gathered, it's more like a, like, because they're on the run, not on the run, but they don't have any resources. It's more like them trying to figure out things that their new life, dealing with whatever they're they go up against, but without like the big resources. Like they mentioned in the interview I read yesterday, like, you know, with this cut ties thing, like they had to, you know, do this so that people wouldn't find out S.H.I.E.L.D. still existing, that like they don't want people to be thinking, oh, why don't they just call Coulson to clean this problem up? Basically, like, why don't they just call the Avengers equivalent?
Mm-hmm.
So from what I gathered, it's going to be more like, I don't want to say vigilantes, but more like rogues, like rogue spies, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They'll probably be dealing with stuff a little bit more roughly, you know, they don't have all these resources or big things, and that's kind of what I gathered from it. And what was the, oh yeah, the little after credits, not after credits stinger, but it was like, you know, whatever that guy's name is, Malik and his daughter, who's like, ooh, I want to meet creepy alien ward. Forgot the alien ward absorbed people's goop last week. You know how he does it. Yeah, it's disappointing we're not going to get to see him for the next batch of episodes, because we won't get to see him really until when and if their pilot happens. But yeah, there wasn't too much else happening.
That was episode. Almost the entire episode. Like,
yeah,
the entire episode was them getting interrogated and the lead up to how they got to where they get interrogated.
Yeah. They were just, I love when he was being interrogated and he gave him like a name with Ravenclaw in it, and like he was giving like a recipe for soup like the whole time. And there was like that inhuman that was using like dark matter that they shot. But that, outside of like Bobby Hunter's exit, the only thing that really happened was them sort of getting a little bit in the way of what Malik was planning. But yeah, that was basically it. Like, it kind of took me by surprise that they ended up leaving. It would have been a really shitty send off if they were just on the plane and then gone. That was it.
Where did Hunter and Bobby go? No idea.
I don't know. I thought they were with you. Ah, whatever. That's their send off. No emotional toast or anything. It's really funny because when they got their first shot, I was thinking it was going to be some guy that was like, going to be involved in the spinoff or something. Like, hey, are you interested in a job or something? And then, like, all of a sudden, it's Gemma. I'm like, wait a minute. Gemma's recruiting them? What's even happening? And then Fitz is there. It's like...
They really just wanted a foursome. That's what they wanted.
Yeah, oh, God. Oh, God. Jesus. Oh. Bobby and Hunter and Fitzsimmons. I don't know what's happening anymore. The sound of Ram, too.
Not gonna lie, I'd probably watch it.
Oh, God. I'm trying to think of funny titles now. I don't know. I mean, the actress played a girl named Jess in Supernatural, so they could call the porn, Who's That Girl? It's Jess. It would work.
This doesn't relate to anything, but I have to ask, is the random length of the theme song in the TV broadcast too, or is that just a Netflix thing?
They shortened it, I think. Yeah, I actually don't know. Because they did the full theme song for a while, but then they shortened it as it went on, and then, like, I think in season three they just did like a very short instrumental of it, because they just, instead of going through the whole song, it's like doo 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 doo, and it's just like a little title card with all the cast on it. So
Oh,
I don't know.
Netflix is weird.
Like, it's been a while, because I watched, I think, seasons one and two only on Netflix, and then three, I started watching live with three, so, like, I thought it was just, like, normal, where it's full length, and then they shorten it as they go, but yeah, I never really paid attention to that, because, like, now in season five, it's literally just, like, that small instrumental, and it just says New Girl, because, like, they lost Coach and stuff, so, like, oh, fuck it, we're not gonna keep adding people if they're gonna leave, but yeah, that's totally related to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, you said the just thing, and
Oh yeah, that's true.
it made me think about the theme song, and then it made me want to ask about how sporadic Netflix was.
Je Bobby and Hunter's replacements are going to be Jess and Winston, actually.
Oh, I can
It's
deal with
going
that. It'd be great.
to be a thing. Okay. What else do we have? Oh, you know what?
That's Milo again.
We know that we should
Everyone else
almost,
is asleep.
including Kevin, probably somewhere. We're still behind on The Walking Dead. At this point, we should almost just wait for the finale and talk about it all at once.
Shut
Because
up.
I think there's just one more week before the finale now. So it's like this week, and then I think next week. So we're still behind on that. What else is there? Is there anything else? I feel like I'm forgetting something.
I don't know. Legends isn't on, so.
Oh yeah,
I
true.
zombie. I zombie.
Oh yeah, okay. But Legends is back next week, so like it doesn't seem as long as it was. But yeah,
Except we
iZombie.
won't
So
get
like
to
I
talk about
said,
it because weird times.
Liv and Major took out the Saviors. You know, we talked about that, all that stuff, and Blaine just watched. Okay, like, what, I just watched this episode today. I'm trying to remember what happened. I remember that Blaine was like super funny at the beginning, when he like came in being like brains, brains, and like his humor was just on point this
I liked
episode.
him on the bus. He's just
Oh
a
yeah, that was funny.
fucking naked guy, all bloody and dirty, on the bus wrapped in like a picnic blanket.
Like that was funny, like, 'cause that was the teaser for like when it returned. Like the first shot in the little teaser was just him riding on the bus, which was funny. So like he was like super funny in this episode. But there was some developments, like, okay, well, Liv was like super suspicious of her boyfriend, and she found out that he's working with that one guy, but he's really an undercover cop, so she really doesn't know the full story. But then he got major napped. You know how people are. That happened, and oh God, I don't know why I can't remember his name, but Max Rager guy totally left his daughter to get eaten by that zombie.
Know.
I don't know what happened to the poor doctor, who I think's been assaulted by a zombie like two times now. Because like when he was testing Major, he left him in there. That guy's like, fuck it, I'm out. He's quitting next week.
Well, I assume the doctor's probably dead.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know
'Cause
what
he got knocked
happened
out.
to her. Did she get scratched? Is that going to be a plot point?
Yeah, it looked like she got scratched or bit or both. Like that was, it was weird 'cause he like left her there and then went to go drink bourbon or whatever, and then she was like begging to get let in. So I don't know. Like
I
I don't know
kind of
whether.
want it to be this plot point where she's now a zombie too, and she gets to team up with Liv against her dad because her dad's an asshole.
But yeah, like obviously a major part of it, major, was just, that word's ruined when talking about this show,
Puns.
but was just that, he was enough of a jerk to leave her there with the zombie and then not let her in after that. But it definitely appeared that something had to have happened to her. She, regardless of whether she got bit, she definitely took it out or subdued it or whatever. And he's just like super pumped about getting this Max Rager product out of there, and like he freaked out on Major and threw like a paperweight through the wall or whatever he was doing. I think I mentioned it like a while back, but there's something unnerving about the full zombie in this show than compared to others because we know the zombies is basically functional humans. And so, like, there's just something inherently disturbing about them being so far gone. Because it's like with the Walkers and the Walking Dead or basically any zombie movie, it's like, all right, they're dead and they're just like this monster. But like this, it's like we know that if it's managed, they're still a person. And so it's like M&M's. So, remember the scene where he was just throwing M&M's at the zombie and then she tried to kill everyone? But no, but there's just something unnerving about it that like and disturbing that they're, just stop throwing M&M's at the floor.
It's my role playing with something. God damn it, I can't control this.
Sorry, they're just so far gone that they become that like ravenous zombie, and I don't know, it's just it's creepy. I don't think there was any other real developments. I mean, Blaine's kind of keeping it on the down low a little bit. He's gonna pretend he's still dead.
Liv's smart brain. Oh
Oh,
no, Fize reference.
Fives. They care about our fandom.
Like let Ravi get the. I don't know if it's a final cure, but at least a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and he gave it to Blaine, and I was a bit confused about what was happening. So why was Blaine coughing?
He hadn't
Like,
taken it yet. He's getting sick and he's gonna die. Because of
so
the
that's
old
just.
cure.
Oh, okay. Because I
He
thought that
hadn't taken
like.
the new cure yet, so
Well,
he
yeah, but
was.
I was confused because I thought that after you took the cure, the worst that could happen is you turn back into a zombie,
You
and
turn back into a
since.
zombie and then you slowly die.
Okay. 'Cause I thought that like I was confused of like I guess you're right 'cause of the mice, but I was thinking that like for some reason like when they just took the cure they outright died, but like I thought that he bypassed like what Major has to worry about since he got killed. And then he just turned into a zombie again. Okay, so that makes sense. Now, I was just a little bit confused about like the timeline of everything. So yeah, he's like that would be funny if like not really funny. We get annoying after a while, but kind of funny. Of like Blaine's bit was he keeps turning back into a human and then back into a zombie, like just constantly showing up in picnic blankets. So yeah, So I guess we'll see if that what that does to him. Because I was like, all right, they're gonna bring him back to being a zombie now, but I guess this will make him human again. So far, Major, unless I missed something, isn't experiencing anything.
Not yet. He's
Sick
still
wise.
human, 'cause he's
Yeah.
still got the goosebump
Sense.
power.
Yeah. They never did much with that with Blaine. Unless he gets it again after this latest dose. Oh, sorry. Really, there's too much else to go over. It was a pretty fun little episode, like usual. There was quite a bit actually that happened when I think about it. Next week she's gonna get stripper brains. So
They
that'll be a thing.
keep giving her like some sort of sexy brain, and I don't mind it at all.
Like the erotica writer librarian chick from like 2 weeks ago or before, I think it was before the hiatus, which is funny. I totally forgot to mention something. What was it? I was just thinking about it. Oh, how she basically dressed up as herself in this episode.
Yeah. Because
Like,
you see her putting on a wig, I'm like, I think that's just your normal hair.
yeah, she went full on summer. But yeah, because like she like adjusted it like it was a wig, like you said, which is funny because that's her hair. But like the white wig is all wig. Because I think though, didn't she have brown hair at the beginning of the series though?
Yeah.
Like as her character, I don't know whether that was a wig or she dyed it or whatever, but like that, so it was still like different from Liv's normal appearance, but like that's what Rose McIver looks like normally, so it's just that was kind of funny, and like I like how Robbie was kind of freaked out by it. Like it is kind of weird to see it now, even though we're used to seeing her as it's like Summer from Power Rangers and stuff. She was also in Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off. Speaking of that movie, that movie was better than all of Dino Charge. Dino Charge didn't even have the black guy from That's So Raven, whose name I forgot.
Orlando Brown, I think that's what his name
Yeah!
was.
Big comfy couch
Because
moment right
it's
there.
like Orlando Bloom, except he's black, so he's brown.
He's like the bootleg version of Orlando Bloom. Eddie is totally a bootleg Johnny Depp. He was totally basing his character off Johnny Depp. You could tell.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, whenever I see someone post a picture from, like, RPM or something, I'm like, oh, look, it's Liv on Summer Brains. classic Liv. But yeah, we'll see where it goes from here. Liv thought she got stood up by her boyfriend, but he just got kidnapped by Major. When's Major's zombie collection going to be discovered? The world may never know. Or will they?
There's a bunch of freezers in this abandoned warehouse.
What's T-Bag doing in here?
I wonder what's inside. Oh shit, there's people in here.
We need to find Robert Nepper. He needs to make it for the prison break thing. Just dig until you find him. Just as you're digging through these bodies, just keep chanting, LFO! LFO! Oh, funny. But I think that officially closes out all the shows. I don't think we have anything else.
I think so. We talk about too many things.
We do, and I have, like, even more, because I talk about everything, or have everything, but Walking Dead will either be... We'll either talk about it next week, or we really will wait for the finale.
If next week is the one before the finale, I'll try to make sure that I'm prepared so we can talk about that and then leave the finale talk open.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it is, because I think next week's 15. Yeah, so... And then we got Fear of the Walking Dead, and that'll be alright.
That'll be one of those things where we question whether we want to talk about it week by week.
I didn't even think about... I don't know why I like randomly thought about it when I saw like the little preview teasers for it when I was watching it, but like how you watched that before you even watched most of The Walking Dead. Because then yeah. I was thinking, oh, when I talked to Brian, I should ask where he is in The Walking Dead, and then I remembered you finished it. I'm just so used to thinking I need to ask about that. Okay. So, now it is time for...
Tweet, tweet, motherfucker!
Okay.
Brains!
Brains. So we got two questions. Hold on, I'm trying to find the other one. I know.
Questions, because every question is a quest for an answer.
Every question is a quest for a chin. Wait, where was that one that was... I'm trying to find that one about who would win in the fight. I just saw it. Hold on. I think it's because I was on live. Hold on. Please hold.
I don't want to hold.
Oh, okay. On. Okay. So, this is from Callan Macbeth, which is not the original question he asked, but it says, so Buff Ichigo versus Jewel Gorilla, who do you guys think would win, basically, is his question. We had a pre-discussion about this. Brian stated that it would be Gorilla because he's not old. But I think that if Ichigo just came at him with a pin, he would deflate him. So like I said,
I completely surrender to that because that is just true.
I think I mean, what would happen?
Look at that suit; it's just air fluffed. I mean, come on.
Is that Ichigo would charge? Would just get pneumonia on the spot.
I'm not even laughing at you.
Sorry. What happened? What did Zeus or Oliver or Zoliver do now?
Oh my god!
What happened? Truly, what is happening?
All right, so earlier, there was a blanket on the chair, and so Bella was trying to get under the blanket, except every time she tried to, like, put her head in there and flick it upward to get under, it moved, and then it fell off the chair. So she jumped down and managed to wrap herself up in it on the floor, and so she's been laying there for a good portion of the show, and Milo started playing with a bottle cap. The bottle cap went under the blanket, so he tried to grab it, and his nail got stuck in the blanket, and so he's backing up, trying to get his paw stuck. Meanwhile, Bella's sliding across the floor in the blanket, looking confused as fuck.
Oh man, that's something that should have been on video.
Oh god.
Oh god.
That was great. Bella, where'd you go?
That is good.
I mean, I think she went to the bedroom. She just said, fuck this shit.
She's done. Okay, but going back to the fight of the century, I think what would happen is Ichigo would like charge as fast as he can go in his hover round at Drill Gorilla with this needle, and then he would poke him, and he would deflate, and then he would just pass out from exhaustion and have to be put in the hospital to be given electrolytes because he's so old. So basically, they both lose. That's exactly how that fight would go
No
down.
one is a winner in this fight.
Okay, so our next question is from Blue Fleur. I don't know why if I'm saying that funny. Well, which of your favorite shows slash movies from your childhood do you think would be required viewing for today's kids? None of it. I said that already, but I don't know. I hate to say stuff like that because I hate the idea that our kids' shows were any better because they're not. Kids' TV as a whole is way better today. Like, and this wasn't when I was a kid, but I think that I would recommend everybody watch Avatar and like Korra, but that's not from when I was a kid. I mean, I was younger when Avatar was airing, but we were older when we watched it. Which was kind of weird. Like, I definitely wouldn't say that anybody has to watch the older Power Rangers.
I think everyone should be required to watch Galadort.
Oh, absolutely. Boom. There we go. I can't believe I didn't even think of that. You need to remember it, so if I ever forget the name again, I can't believe I'm able to hold on to it for this long. Like, there was like gaps where I would like not like constantly, but for days on and off, I would think about like trying to think really hard about what the name of this show was, and then I would remember it and think I need to like write this down or bookmark something or do something to remember it, and then I never would, and then inevitably like a year later, I'd go through the same thing. So like obviously Galador, and
Mystic Knights of Tir
Mrs. Knights of Tir na n'Og is just all about eggnog, to be honest. Just a giant eggnog special. Beetleborgs, Big Boy and Busty, Blue's Clues, obviously. Like for real, all children nowadays need to watch Blue's Clues, Teletubbies, Bear in the Big Blue House, Little Bear.
Franklin. Franklin.
That Richard
Franklin and
Scarry
Arthur.
show.
Busy Town. Busy Town with
How are they
Virginia.
ever gonna know if it's a wonderful time of day, the time to work and play, get along with each other? Like, but honestly, I don't think there's anything required. Like, there's nothing that is amazing about our childhood.
I don't ever like saying the word required,
Yeah.
'cause that's kind of stupid. I think if kids now or kids in the future like discover something that we watched when we were little and want to go watch it, they can go watch it. I don't
Yeah.
necessarily think that anything we watched should be required because I mean honest it's old. It
Yeah.
like I mean I could go up to like a Transformers fan that's a kid in 5, 10 years, whatever, and go, I grew up with Beast Wars. Beast Wars was really cool. I'm not gonna go, you have to watch Beast Wars. It was the best.
And you got to use that voice too.
Well, yeah, because what other voice would
That's the
I
Beast
talk
Wars
in?
voice, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Come on. This is the Beast Wars voice.
Get on my level.
Maximize,
To this poor kid.
don't know, but I love a ton of things from when I was a kid, but I wouldn't say that any of them are required for kids to watch ever, 'cause I don't even want to watch most of them anymore. So
Because so much of everything is better now. Like, even like the 90s Spider-Man. Like, if you told me to go to a kid and recommend a Spider-Man show to him, I would recommend like Spectacular Spider-Man instead. Or like Young Justice over the Justice League cartoon. Like everything is better now. Like, there's nothing from when I was specifically a kid that I watched. I mean, I might recommend something or like if I was talking to some kid that knows the anime from Pokemon, I would say, "Oh, hey, if you want to laugh, go watch, like, look how long this has been going. Watch the Creeper Sabrina episode. I don't know.
Look at
I
the
want a
fucking
seizure."
animation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it would be something like that. But, like, I hate when people are like, "Oh, kids need to watch this," or "You didn't have a good childhood," or "Only 90s kids remember," or God, that's like the worst type of Facebook post, right next to putting up pictures of your kids. That's like the top offender. Like, here's a picture of my mutant child, and then, like, right after that is "Only 90s kids remember," and then the third one is like political posts. So, yeah. Basically, just turn into a typical nostalgia bash fest. You know how we do. But yeah, I think that's about it, since we usually give the amount of questions for the amount of people that are conscious. So, thanks everyone for sending in as usual. Keep sending in. We usually try to mentally remember questions if we didn't answer them, so there's still a chance you could get yours read if it was sent in earlier. That concludes the pre-final thingies, final thingies. And now it's
So
time
stand for
for
your bingo card, folks.
boom. George, did
Bingo.
George play bingo this week? Oh, I don't think he's listened yet. Wonder which new girl character he's gonna use next. Watch the guy keeps going, like he starts using really obscure characters like Dancing Dan. Wait, that's from Freezing Hope. Outside Dave.
Outside Dave.
Outside Dave. The girls from Moved Across the Street, I don't know. Nadia. Salad bar. I go make bowling.
Oh, fucking God. Anyway, now it's time for Final Thingies MP3.
Final things.
I have a thingy, and it's not final.
You know I have to do it. And three P. Classic Michael Scott.
What would N3P stand for?
I don't know. I'm not Michael Scott. He's the one that said it. Because he's like, "I just downloaded these N3Ps." And Jim just goes, "Nope." Nope. Oh, classic Jim.
That's everyone's homework. Come up with something that N3P would stand for.
Not third person music, but the M is silent. Like Tug Romney. Two G's, silent B. I love when he pretends to be a Romney. Let's get America back to work. Like Romney Olympics? I bet that's a hoot. Oh, Closet Schmidt.
Oh, Schmidt, you precious soul.
I go make bowling.